from the KISS 92.5 studios in Toronto.
One, two,
Roz
and Mocha.
It's Roz and Mocha. What's going on?
Hey guys, this is Bruno Mars.
This is Selena Gomez.
The Chainsmokers.
Lady Gaga.
Calvin Harris.
Celestia Carr.
This is Ed Sheeran.
You're listening to my boys Roz and Mocha.
Roz and Mocha.
My boys Roz and Mocha.
The Roz and Mocha Show.
Between Roz and Mocha, who is your favorite?
Roz.
Mocha.
Roz.
I Mocha.
You guys are so funny, man.
Congratulations, Lisa! Wow!
You just won $1,000.
Amazing. Y'all just made my entire morning. Keep it up.
You guys are awesome, man.
This is the Roz and Mocha Show.
Podcast.
I told my, it was my brother's first year going into high school, so yeah. I told him, I'm like, if you need anyone to talk to,
you,
if you need someone to help you, I'm your
guy.
Yeah,
call Roz and Mocha.
Yeah, exactly.
No, you know, I want to be that big brother, so use me.
But what advice do you have? No, I'm not saying this in a negative way. I'm just saying, what advice do you have?
Well, I've lived through it, right? So what if he, you know, is not making any friends, or what if he's having girl trouble, or what if he's having a hard time fitting in?
So basically, what if he had the same high school life as you did?
Yeah.
But you can't help him with problems that you can't relate to. Like, your advice only extends to your own experience.
No, but I can certainly BS.
Why would you BS?
Why would you BS?
That's not nice.
No, but you can sort of be then you can fake your way through
it. Okay, so let's run through this right now. And in all honesty, because kids are dealing with this, so try not to send anybody completely down the wrong path here.
Treat this seriously.
But let's say that somebody is having, or they feel that they're having a hard time fitting in on day two in high school, not the younger kids, but in high school.
So give me the example.
I just did.
Okay.
Literally. Like,
okay, let's take
honestly, listen.
Let's take this
call
seriously.
Roz and Mocha. Like, well, yeah, we are taking it seriously. You're the one that's not listening, man.
No, I am. Okay,
or
so
you would be the worst cop. I'd be like, oh my God, officer. So this blue Toyota just blew through this intersection, nailed a garbage can. That garbage can hit a pigeon. That pigeon went right into that woman's eye. And Maury would be like, okay, so why don't you go ahead and just tell me what happened then? I'm okay. Blue Toyota.
Yeah.
I
even got the license plate for you.
Okay, so here's the thing. Okay, so day two in high school, somebody feeling maybe that they don't fit in.
Okay, so what you need to do is maybe, you know, don't look down on the ground, look up, make yourself look confident, go up to some people, say hi, just break the ice, break that tension, and just dive in, and just go up and say, hey, how's it going? Are you having a good time at school? My name is Maury. You know, do we have any classes together? Oh, that's a nice jacket.
Yeah, bro, it's 42 degrees outside. Ain't nobody wearing jackets today.
All right. But not wrong.
Okay.
Also, if anybody ever came up to me day two of high school and been like, are you having a good time in high school?
Yeah.
I'd be like, nah, fam.
Okay, so your advice to somebody who feels that they don't fit in high school is to walk up to somebody and say, do we have any classes together? That's a nice jacket. So that's your advice.
I mean,
nice jacket. It'll feel good on my body after
it'll make somebody feel sorry for you and be like, oh, he's trying really hard. I should be nice to this little
guy.
You know
what's cool? Forests. Want to go into the forest?
Daniel, don't text me.
You know how to swim? I hope not. Like, you're the worst advice giver ever.
Absolute worst.
Do we have any classes together? That's a nice jacket.
Hey, KISS, it's Roz and Mocha.
Well, I just listened to Maury's story or advice to people feeling uncomfortable on the second day of high school.
Yeah.
And I laughed really hard because I was like, absolutely not. Like, don't ever take that approach.
No.
But it reminded me of when I was in high school and this girl came. She was new to our school, like, maybe the fifth day.
Yeah.
And she moved from the state. And her name was Veronica. My name was Veronica. And so one morning, I literally walked up to her at her locker, and I was like, hi, you're in my homeroom. We have the same name. We can be friends. And then I introduced her to, like, everybody in the hallway around us. And then six years later, we're still best friends.
Yeah, see, that to me seems normal, right? Like, that,
How's that different than what I said?
Well,
completely.
Completely opposite. It's the complete opposite.
We had the name in common. We had homeroom together. And I felt bad because she didn't know anybody yet. So
yeah. Yeah, Yeah, you know, but Maury's advice is always like, you know, like I said, I don't.
I mean, I you're taking the advice for. I used to just hang out with the caretakers and you know, eat lunch in the IV club.
Right. Also, don't ask me why I'm wearing gloves in June.
Can we pause real quick?
Yeah.
Too? Did you mean to say in the AV room and not the IV room?
Yes. Yes.
The caretaker had you hooked up to an IV? What high school did you go to, man?
Hey, you're new to this school. Have you ever been to the room with the needles?
No, leave your jacket on.
Leave your jacket on.
Thanks for the call. We gotta go.
The Roz and Mocha Show
podcast.
Back to school. Back to school. For a lot of people listening right now, this might be your first time checking out the Roz and Mocha Show since June. So welcome back.
It's crazy.
If there's anything you think you might have missed over the summertime, you can get our podcast. We got 43 episodes available through iOS and Google Play. Get yourself caught up there. Mm-hmm. Dan and Maury was down at the X for another year talking to kids about going back to school.
No.
It's always an exciting time.
Oh, little
you
kids.
You get the little wee ones who are just like straight up honest about everything.
Man.
Sebastian, are you excited for going back to school?
No, because I hate it.
What do you hate about school?
Doing homework, having to wait a lot. If you want to go to the washroom, you need to put your hand up and wait.
Yeah.
What do you want to say to all of the kids who are scared about going back to school? What advice would you give them?
Just stay home and do nothing.
Yeah. Well, be ready, because sometimes things will hit you at school.
Like literally?
Yeah, when you're in gym. It's happened to me before.
So how old do you think your teachers are?
I think my teacher's like 187, because, yeah.
I hear it's your first time ever going to school.
It is.
And are you scared?
No, because I love to make friends and love school supplies.
Okay, it is time to go back to school. What's going through your mind?
I don't really like it, but I do like it.
Now talk to me about school itself. What are you not looking forward to, and what do you love about school?
I love about school is when we do a lot of math and science and stuff, but what I hate about it is when we like have to have free time for like 1 hour and that's it, and it's so boring. Do you want to play with this or do you want to play with this first? Because all the games that I have at school are really long. So,
well, I'm going into grade 7, so I'm a little bit nervous but mostly excited. Well, we're getting lockers and I'm not the best at using a padlock. I'm not good at turning it. I get the left and right confused.
What do you want to say to somebody who's maybe very nervous about going back to school? What advice would you give them?
As long as you act or at least pretend that you know what you're doing and pay attention, it won't be that bad.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
First day back to school. It's always good to try and talk to my kid, Roxy, who's going into grade 3 this year with a brand new teacher. She's very pumped about that. We had a long conversation over just how maybe you might pronounce the teacher's last name.
It was
it's going to be a big reveal.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So we'll see if we can get a hold of Rox. Here, I'll give you Catherine's number, which you apparently already have memorized. So weird.
Top of the dome. What you want?
Okay. That's so weird. I don't even know if she's going to answer. I texted her earlier. They better be up.
The call display shows my name. She'll answer.
Yeah.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Who's this?
Hi.
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 Roxy.
Yes.
It's Dad.
Yes.
Oh. So excited. So excited to talk to me. Mocha's here too.
Hi, Rox.
Hello.
Oh, there we go.
Hey, congratulations on grade 3. That's pretty exciting.
Thank you.
Yeah. What are you most looking forward to today?
I have no clue.
That's not true at all. We had a whole conversation about this.
We did?
Yes. You got your protractor. You got all your watercolor markers. You got everything.
I remember now.
Yeah. Remember we were playing with the protractor yesterday?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so what are you most looking forward to? Are you excited?
Yes, I am.
Yeah? What are you excited for?
To see Lila.
Oh, to see Lila and all the other friends you have?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be great, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. What are you having for lunch?
Curry.
Curry, right?
Nice.
Yeah. Are you gonna miss me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you gonna miss me?
Maybe. Maybe not.
Oh. All right.
That's cool. I've only known you since you were born.
All right, Roxy, listen, as I say to you every year on this day, the first day back to school, I'm so unbelievably proud of you, and I love you so much, and you're a great kid, and you're a smart kid, and I love that you're excited about school, and I can't wait for you to get home so you can tell me all about it.
Thank you.
You're welcome, buddy. I love you.
Love you, too.
Okay. How much do you love me? Like a lot or just like a little? Oh.
Wow. Class is in session. You just got schooled, Roz, by your own kid.
I love you. Have a fantastic day.
Love you too.
Okay, pal. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hi. Okay, hang up.
You don't always hang up when someone's talking.
Okay, well, I asked you to hang up, though. I asked you to hang up, though. It's okay to hang up. Okay, why is the phone sound so weird? It sounds like I'm talking to your grandmother.
Yeah.
Talk into the phone.
I am.
Okay, I love you. Goodbye.
Bye.
Okay, yikes. Never goes well. I always think in my head we're going to sit there and have a moment, and like I'm going to cry and be one of those parents, and yeah, anyway.
The Roz and Mocha Show Podcast.
I had to go see a movie yesterday morning for the film festival.
Oh, fancy.
At Cineplex what the hell is that? Dundas Square.
Yeah.
And I guess Ryerson does classes or orientation or something in those theaters in the morning on the first day of school.
Oh, yeah?
It was nuts because I walked through there and it looked like I was walking through college, but only I wear a backpack too, just like all the kids.
Oh.
So I look like...
Older student.
I look like older student,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Maybe you decide like... Partway through your life, you're not happy with your career, you want to go back to school.
Totally.
Right? A lot of people do that.
Which I know is going to happen at some point. let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Maybe I'll be a doctor.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm walking through there, and first of all, when you get students on the first day of school, you know, you get the people who are like really self-aware and put their, you know, their best foot forward. And then you get the other people who are still hanging on to summer, and you get the other people who are terrified, and it's 40 degrees outside. But I'll tell you, being surrounded by that many like 19-year-olds, the smells were incredible.
Yeah.
So diverse. From you would walk 1 foot and go, oh my God, that person smells great, to, oh my God, what is that? Like you would just like, when you cram that many like 19 and 20-year-olds in a room, yeah. Like the smells, like everybody smells so different, but everybody smells of something.
I just assume it's a combination of weed, Doritos,
yeah,
Mountain Dew, and maybe like Axe body spray.
No, and I'm telling you, it's fear
and stink,
right? Yeah, like it's fear and overcompensation is what you smell, right? Those are the two things that I smelled when I was walking through there. I don't remember what age were you, because I remember in school. But I don't remember what grade it was where there was half the kids, boys, let's face it, knew that they smelled and they tried to cover it up every day. And then the other half didn't know they smelled and they just reeked all day. Where there's that period of high school or junior high.
I was in the
where half the class reeks and half the class just reeks of covering up reek.
I was in the side of... I probably smelled and didn't know it.
Yeah.
Because everybody else smelled.
Fair
so
enough.
So you figure.
Yes.
I guess this is the smell.
Yeah.
And it was seventh grade.
It's just what school smells like.
Yeah. It's just like, this is what school smells like.
So seventh grade is what you're saying.
It was seventh grade. Yeah. Where, and the only reason why I know this is because our seventh grade teacher, Mr. Dunn, had to sit down and talk to all of us about body odor.
Really?
And how to, and he did it in a really nice, like sensitive way. Not like, you guys stink.
Yeah.
You need to get some degree or something, right?
Yeah.
But it was in a very nice and sensitive, like, you know, everyone's got different body odors and there are ways to kind of cover it up, and talking about deodorant and stuff. And it was since seventh grade that I started using deodorant.
Yeah, I remember I was dating a girl named Lisa, and I guess I smelled, because when we would make out, I remember, and this came back to me not that long ago, where I was oh man, this is a really uncomfortable situation, but I handled it like a champ. Because again, you're just oblivious to your own smell.
Sure.
Where I remember we would be in her room making out, and a couple of times she went to the bathroom and came back with her father's deodorant.
No.
And gave it to me. And I remember I remember so perfectly what it was. It was a round tube of English leather, is what it was called.
That sounds old.
Oh, yeah. English leather. And but the thing was this.
I'm sure it's full of ingredients that are totally illegal now.
And then we made out, but I smelled like her dad. Right? Which had to have been weird.
Yeah, that's very weird.
So when your choices are make out with this disgusting mess or make out with somebody who smells like my dad, you know I smell bad when she chose to make out with somebody who smells like her dad.
The Roz and Mocha Show Podcast.
Samana Unana, Dominican Republic's prettiest peninsula.
Wow, you actually pulled that off.
Right? Transat got your weekly flights to Samana.
Yeah, if you haven't checked out Samana, just do a quick search online, and the pictures alone will give you reason to want to go there. Like, the beautiful beaches are there, but they also got the mountain landscapes. You can do a jeep safari.
I had no idea you can do jeep safari out there.
Yeah, and one of the cool things about Samana is it's one of the best breeding grounds for humpback whales in the entire world, and thousands of humpbacks go off the coast of Samana every January and March to breed. So if you're into whale watching, and I've been whale watching on both coasts, three different countries, and apparently this is the spot to do that. Yeah. You ever seen whales in your life?
Yeah, for sure.
Where'd you go whale watching?
In Cabo.
Cabo. I did the same thing in Cabo. But I'll tell you, from what I've seen, the whale watching in Samana is better than Victoria. It's better than Newfoundland. It's better than Cabo.
Really?
And it's better than anywhere else in the Caribbean. Yep.
Or if you're like me and you just want to chill, you just want to relax, just kicking it on a catamaran.
Oh, perfect.
Or just lounging by the pool at your hotel.
Yep.
Samana, they got it all. Book your next trip right now. Go to airtransat.com. What should we do now?
Let's take a phone call.
Hello, hello. Roz and Mocha, who's this?
Hi, it's Amanda.
What's up, Amanda?
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm excellent. I'm going back to work today. I'm so excited.
Are you? Why were you off from work? Vacation? Mat leave? What's up?
I'm a teacher.
Oh, you're a teacher. All right. So, all of summer you had off, and going back to school today, first day. What grade are you teaching?
I teach the fourth grade.
All right. Are you excited?
I'm so excited. I love my job. I enjoy the break, but I very much love going to work every day and meeting my class every day and my work friends. So fun.
What's the big thing fourth graders learn this year?
The science units are really fun in grade four. So they do all that, the rocks and minerals. They learn about ancient civilizations. And then usually for us in the winter, we get to do Swim to Survive, which is a free program the city offers. To teach kids in grade four basic swim skills.
Oh, that's great.
Wow, that's crazy.
My kid's going into grade three today, and we had to buy her a protractor set over the weekend.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Did she know what it was?
No, she's like,
looking at it like,
She's like, what is this thing even doing? I'm like, it's all angles, and she knows all about angles, but she doesn't know how to use a protractor, right? Like, that's something that you need to be taught, and I'm like, don't worry, they'll teach you up. It's fine. So I love all the new things. It's so great. Like, I don't remember what it's like. That's, you know, the day that somebody handed me a protractor and I was like, I don't even know what to do with this.
Yeah.
You know, like every day in Maury's life, right?
Wow.
Yeah. Maury, show me right now with your hands what a 140 degree angle would look like. Maury just made a triangle with his hands.
Yep, you're right. A plus, Maury. Hey, Amanda, thanks so much for calling in today. All the best on your first day back at school.
Thanks, boys. What a great way for me to start to be able to talk to you guys in the morning. Isn't it awesome?
Thank you.
The Roz and Mocha Show Podcast.
Hi, it's Roz and Mocha. Who's this?
Hi, Mocha. It's Allison. I'm a teacher and I don't want to get up. Oh my God. I heard that girl Amanda just now and I was like, who are you? I've hit snooze like 8 times already.
Oh, wow.
What time do you have to be at school at today, Allison?
I have a staff meeting at 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock. All right. How was your summer though?
Oh, it was really good. We went to Florida and then we went to Los Angeles. My daughter won a dance scholarship to LA.
Oh, nice.
Wow.
Can I just say it's awesome to hear a teacher being very real right now?
Yeah.
Oh my God. I feel like I've been hit by a bus.
What?
<I'm on fire. laughs>
What? How many kids you got in your class this year?
I teach high school. I've got 2 grade 12 classes and 1 grade 10.
I've probably got
about 80 kids in about, in an hour and a half. I think I have about
80
kids.
I don't know if I would
kids.
Ever have the patience or tolerance to be a teacher in high school. Like, I commend any and every single just teacher in general, because you have to have an incredible amount of patience to do something like that. Mm-hmm. And especially in high school, because high school kids are the worst.
But what do you really do on the first day?
Oh gosh, today with my grade 12s, I'm going to do a bit of goal setting. Like, what do you want to get out of this year? Because it's such a big year for them. And yeah. They have to think ahead, and they have to think about what they want to do, because they start applying for post-secondary in December, really. So they only have a few months to pull it all together. It's an exciting year for them, but, it's a lot of pressure, too. It's sometimes hard to teach because, you don't want to break any hearts, and sometimes things don't go as planned. But then you have other kids that are really strong, and they really try, and they turn it on for grade 12, and that's exciting, especially when you see them start getting acceptances into programs that you want, that they want to get into.
What do kids want to do now?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, everything. My high school is pretty... I teach business studies, so there's a lot of kids that really want to get into different business programs like accounting and so on. And
oh, wow.
There's a lot of kids that are really, really into science.
Does anybody say viral star?
No. But actually, there's been a few kids that have gone through our school that are really, really strong in the arts. So we've had a few kids go on, and I guess they want to be like musicians and actors and things like that. So, yeah, it's good. It's good, but it's hard to get up this morning. Oh, my God.
You got to get up, girl. You got a big job to do today. Get your ass at the bed.
I know. I've got it down to a science, though. How many minutes in the shower? How many minutes to grab a bagel as I run out the door?
Right. You have to go and... straighten out about 60 boys today who are completely distracted from girls who have changed over the summer.
Oh my gosh, that's it exactly. And my youngest is going into grade 3 too. So whenever you talk about Roxy, I think about my daughter Amy.
Oh, that's awesome. So,
well, Allison, thank you very much for calling in today. All the best on your first day back at school.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too. Wake your ass up.
Yeah, I know. You know what? I just stood up, so I'm halfway to the
good
car.
Good job.
Take care.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Yeah, the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Hello, Roz and Mocha. Who's this?
Hi, guys. It's Anita.
What's up, Anita? How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. What's going on?
Just wanted to wish everybody a great first day. It's my first day back at school, too. I'm returning from a maternity leave.
Yeah, oh, nice. Amazing.
Yeah.
How's that for you?
It's. I didn't just have the summer off. I had a whole year off.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's tricky to manage getting 2 kids ready, 1 to daycare, 1 to school. It's my son's first day of JK as well.
Oh, wow. So are you personally nervous about anything today?
I think every teacher gets a little nervous the first day.
Yeah.
Just nervous about how my kids are doing. Honestly, my own kids, how they're doing at daycare, how they're doing at school, and then a little nervous about some new kids in my class and how they're going to adjust. And
we talked to a lot of parents who are dropping their kid off for the first day at JK, and it's a very emotional trip for them. But I wonder how you feel about that, because as a teacher, I'm sure you've seen this over and over and over again. The parents just like breaking down in absolute hysterics and tears because it's so emotional dropping their kids off. So aside from the teacher part of your life, what was it like dropping? What's it like dropping your kid off today? How are you going
to
be?
I didn't get to drop him. I had to miss it. We had to stage pictures, and I guess it's just teacher life. You never get to see your kids on their first day because it's your first day too, and that's important.
Oh, it's so terrible. I remember I think I've taken Roxy to school twice in 5 years or however long she's. So JK 2 years, 3 years.
Were you emotional on your, because I remember you took the morning off from this show.
I left early. Remember, I bailed.
To take Roxy to school.
Yeah. Was I emotional? I mean, I wasn't a crying parent, but I was more emotional because she was just so, like, I don't even know what the word is. She was so just eager to learn, and she really just wanted to go to school because it's such a big step for kids that they get to when they go into JK. It's a whole different world for them. And she just wanted school to be great. Like, she just wanted to have fun and to learn. And it was, so for that part, it was emotional. Watching her stand against against the a brick wall lined up with other kids wearing like a backpack and stuff like that. Yeah, you're gonna burst into tears. It's terrible.
I'll tell you, everybody right now, straight up.
Yeah.
So our son, he's only 16 months, right? Yeah. So we got a little ways to go.
Yeah.
But I know on his first day of school, I am going to be a mess.
Yeah, you're gonna it's awful. But it's so wonderful because the look on their face, they feel that they've achieved something.
Yeah, for sure.
Even though they haven't.
Yeah. Come on, man.
It's crazy because it's starting their like 25-year chapter, basically.
Oh,
like,
yeah, totally.
Yeah, cool. Yeah.
Hey, Anita, thanks so much for calling in today. Appreciate it. Thanks. All the best on your first day back at school.
Thanks so much. Take care, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Here we go.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Got to get ready for this because we haven't done this in a while. Mm. Gentlemen, would you like to play 5 and 7?
This is 5 and 7.
Damn it, Maury, please join us. Get your headphones on. It's very intense. 5 and 7, very simple. We will ask Damn it, Maury, to name 5 things. He has 7 seconds to name those 5 things.
Bro, why are you breathing so heavy?
Mocha will be our official judge and timekeeper. Damn it, Maury, good morning. Are you okay? Name 5 ways that you could die this morning. I'm kidding. Oh.
This is 5 and 7.
I thought maybe we would lose more.
Okay.
Are you okay?
Yeah.
Okay, Maury, okay. Here we go. Name 5 things that are sticky to the touch.
Okay, tape, glue, snot.
Loser.
Okay. Tape, glue, and the third one was
snot.
Boogers.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. I would give you boogers. Also, syrup, wax, honey, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go. Maury, are you ready?
Yes.
Name 5 mammals whose milk humans consume.
Goat, sheep, cow, mom.
Loser.
That's 4.
Yeah. There's only four?
Oh, only.
No.
Almond.
Buffalo.
No. Buffalo. Okay. Buffalo milk?
Yeah. Buffalo cheese. Where do you think buffalo cheese comes from?
Cows.
Loser.
Like, I thought it was named after Buffalo, New York.
Dude, come on.
Okay. Maury, name 5 things you usually wet before using them.
Loser.
Oh, sorry.
Your whistle. You're right before you use it. Wet before you use it. Cloth.
Loser.
Okay. Would have given you sponge.
Right.
Would have given you toothbrush.
Oh, yeah.
Would have given you, and if you wanted to go old school, would have given you sharpening stone. Washcloth would have also accepted mop.
Right.
As something you have to wet before.
And your lips.
I don't know. How does that work? You don't have to wet your lips before you use them.
Usually, you can't have dry lips.
Yeah, but not every time you use your lips do you have to wet them.
No, but it depends on what you're using them for. Like,
God, we would be so weird looking. We'd look like goats if every time you use your lips for anything, talking, anything. If we had to lick our lips before every single thing we use them for, we'd look like goats.
Oh, okay,
next. Okay. Maury, name 5 things you spray on your face.
Oh my goodness, bug spray, grape water.
Loser.
What was the second one?
Grape water.
What is grape water?
Once I was at a spa and they were trying to sell me a $200 bottle of grape water, so that stuck in my head.
Like grape juice?
They said grape water.
Oh. They just spray you with Welch's.
Right?
And then you're going to be name 5 things that are sticky. I put you on that list.
My face.
Sorry. After great watches.
Okay. Right. Face mist, sunblock, water, spray tan, some perfume, I guess, bug spray as you got. We have time for one more?
Yeah.
Maury, name 5 animals that hop.
Cricket. What do you call that kiwi thing? The thing that's in Australia with the pouch. That.
Loser.
Yo, what about a bunny?
What about a bunny?
Yeah, but I'm stuck on the thing in Australia.
What?
A kangaroo?
Yes.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
It is Friday, August 31st.
Damn, yeah. Yeah.
Just keep listening.
Anniversary.
Who's this?
Tony, duh. Happy anniversary, Roz.
Happy anniversary, Mocha.
9 years of the Roz and Mocha Show on Kiss 92.5. 9 years ago today, we debuted the show. 9 years ago today, Roz. You and your girlfriend, Catherine, were still expecting baby Roxy.
That's right. She wasn't born yet. Yeah.
9 years ago today, Roz, I was living with my parents in the basement of their house in Scarborough.
Like boxes of wrestling dolls beside your cot. Yeah.
Boxes? And we legit had like nobody listening to the show.
No, we started from scratch. We started from zero.
Zero people.
Like, we didn't take over a show on an existing station that was already great. It was all brand new. The show had no, like, we had, when we say we started from zero, we mean we legitimately started from zero. We started from not one single person listening. And it's taken 9 years to get 10 people.
So I so I have like audio from our very first show.
Yeah, which was also my very first time ever hosting a radio show.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Dude,
I never hosted a show before.
We sound so different.
Do we?
Yeah, listen to this.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. You want
to
know what they are?
Okay.
My mother joined Facebook.
Dude, that's awesome.
My mother joined Facebook. Now, do you put your mom on limited profile? I'm going to say this. My mother, I know for a fact, has 38 friends.
Okay, so like we sound different.
Wow.
This is a real show, by the way.
Okay, so this is back to us.
This is back to us.
Okay.
We sound really, really different, don't we?
Yeah, I sound like I'm sick.
I think you might have been.
I probably was. I was so nervous, right? Yeah. I was so nervous.
We'll go back to August 31st of 2009.
Okay.
Well,
guess who's not one of them?
Who?
Me.
Why not? You got to be friends with your mom.
Guess who is one of them?
Who?
My brother. Guess who else is one of her friends? My ex-wife. When you sign up for Facebook, the first thing you do is you think, who do I know?
Oh my God, dude, that's hilarious.
She sat at her computer and did the who do I know, thought of my brother.
Brother number one.
Brother number one. His girlfriend.
His girlfriend number two.
My ex-wife.
Your ex-wife number three.
30 some odd other people.
So you are like even below that because once she adds me, like we have all these people who are way above you. Her blood.
And I'm on TV. Like, I'm a good friend to have on Facebook. People like having me on Facebook.
Oh, yeah. She can get into all the parties.
Right? Wow.
Real different.
That's crazy, man.
There's one time.
What's that, Maury?
I don't know what you're doing to your voice there.
I was probably sick. No, I was so nervous. Sick, yeah. I hadn't slept
I
in a week.
You're trying to sound like super modern. Like,
no.
I would never add her on Facebook.
No, I hadn't slept in about a week before we did this show. Like, I was so just exhausted and nervous and... that's just the reality of it.
One of the hottest stories on August 31st, 2009.
Yeah? Oh, no.
Has to do with John Gosling. Let's dip back to 2009 real quick and listen to this.
I guess over the weekend, John from John and Kate was in Vegas. And for some reason, everywhere he went, he was followed and surrounded by a giant group of the most beautiful women I've ever seen. I'm going to hand my BlackBerry over to Mocha right now. There's a picture on there. Describe.
Your BlackBerry.
You see for people.
Okay, first of all, this idiot is standing there wearing sunglasses. His shirt is, he's got a button top, button shirt. The first two buttons are undone, so he's showing off his chest. And he's got three smoking hot blondes all surrounding him. And my question is, why does he deserve to be in that position with those three girls? And it's not me sitting there.
Wow. Look at you. Why does he get all the pretty ladies and not me?
Anyway.
We got all that from my BlackBerry.
Yeah.
That fantastic segment.
Well, all it's been 9 years. I don't regret anything, bro. Oh, man. Happy anniversary, Roz.
Me too.
Yeah, the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Don't worry, I haven't heard from you.
You all right?
I don't know. He's got his glasses off.
Uh-oh.
I know, it's never a good sign this early.
What's going on, dude? You all right?
No, I just can't clean my glasses. There's like smudges on them and they won't go away.
What do you mean you can't clean your glasses?
You don't have like glasses cleaner?
No, I always go and then wipe them, but I just move the smudge to the other side.
Can I teach you a gross technique that I do? I do it in private, and a friend of mine used to do this, and I thought it was the grossest thing in the world because he would just do it publicly, and then I started doing it.
Please don't tell me you guys spit on your glasses.
No, and I do it only in private. Which is, I still use my shirt, like the bottom of your shirt.
Yeah.
But what I do is I take my glasses and I put it in front of my mouth. Okay, so the ear parts are pointing up. And so the lens is now just like sort of parallel with my lips.
Yeah.
And what I do is
looks like you're biting a cookie.
Yeah. I take my tongue and I rub it on the outside of the lens like this. Right? And then I take my tongue and I put it on the top lens like this. And then I clean it.
That is disgusting.
Yeah, I French my glasses a little bit, right?
No wonder you do that in private.
That is
gross.
I French my glasses a little bit.
No, I don't see Dan Moore do that.
And then I rub it on my shirt.
No,
and,
Moore,
and I'm telling you,
in private.
And I'm telling you, it actually works. It works better than the... It really does, yeah. Here, so I... Mine. No, ew. I'm not touching Moore. I don't want to touch your glasses. Don't. That's gross. That's a private thing. You can feel free to lick your own glasses. I just gave you the technique because you said your glasses are dirty. So lick the bottom lens. Yeah, lick the bottom of the lens. Can you take a picture of this, please?
Oh, my God. This is so gross, guys. Okay,
just wait. Let me...
See, do you ever ruin the coating?
I can't be the only one that does this. Do you want a video of this or do you want a picture of this?
I'm filming
this. Okay, so you're filming?
Yeah.
Okay, so hold on here. Let me do a picture of that. Okay. No, Maury, just don't be like erotic about it. You're just cleaning them, okay? No, listen. Just lick your glasses. I don't know. No, don't tease them.
I can't help it if my tongue slips from the top.
Like,
to
lick
the
it like you're licking anything. Like, you're the back of your hand, like you have sauce on your hand. And you're just licking it off.
Quickly.
Do you not know how to lick something?
I don't know what the last thing I licked was.
Really?
I eat ice cream with a spoon.
Oh my God, this is so gross.
Okay, now, Maury, you can't let the gob dry on your glasses. You actually have to wipe it off with your shirt.
Oh.
Ew. God, dude.
Okay, now watch. But I know it's disgusting, everything else. Maury's tongue much wider than I thought it would be. God, that big tongue is such a little mouth.
Oh, look at that.
Right, thank you. Very clean, right?
Oh, they smell like my mouth.
Yeah, they smell like your mouth.
Ew! The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Mocha.
Yes.
Crickets are magic.
Magic?
Yeah, they are. And I only just discovered that crickets are magic. So at the cottage, we have there's crickets. And they get in the house and they do the cricket thing in the house. So I give you clip one. Play clip one. I recorded this the other night. In my living room. And normally... What I would do if I was alone is I take a knife and I just literally go around the house and run the knife under the baseboards until I hear a crunch.
Gross.
But when Catherine's there, she won't let me kill them.
No, of course not.
Because we know that this is like a cricket looking for a mate.
Yeah.
And so Catherine's always like, where would we be today if somebody tried to kill you with a butter knife when you were looking for a girlfriend? just let the cricket do its thing. So the misconception. Maury, come in here for a second. How do crickets make this sound, first of all?
Is it with their legs?
They rub their legs together.
They moisten their legs and rub them together. Well, otherwise you can't get the sound.
Mocha, how do crickets make this sound?
I'm going to say that
you can keep playing the cricket.
Oh, I'm going to say I'm going to say it's with their legs.
Okay, so the common misconception is that crickets use their legs to create the chirping sound. Actually, they use their wings to do it.
Their wings?
Yes, their wings. And it's only the boy crickets that do this. They say the sides of the wings are grooved in texture. They also have jagged edge on the grooves. And the grooves, they rub them side to side. And this is the wings that make the sound. Female crickets do not chirp. Male crickets primarily use the chirping ability to create mating calls. Loud chirps from the males at night help the females locate them. This is followed by a softer courtship song after the mating begins.
A song?
Yeah. Finally, after successful mating, the male will sing another song
strong to keep the female nearby and to keep her from going off immediately mating with another male.
Oh, that's so nice.
Imagine the heartbreak. This is all going on underneath my baseboards, by the way, right? It's like an episode of The Bachelor. So I start doing a deep dive into crickets, and this is when I realized that crickets are magic.
Okay.
Okay, so I had no idea, and if you're on your way to school right now, you can blow people away with this because we're going to do an experiment. So in your computer right now, you have clip number 2.
Okay.
So stop clip number 1, clip number 2, and tell me exactly how long clip number 2 is. Should be around 15 seconds.
Yeah, it's exactly 15.
It's exactly 15 seconds. Okay, so the thing I didn't know about crickets and what makes them magic is crickets can predict the temperature with their chirps.
What do you mean?
So the story goes, if you count the amount of chirps that a cricket does in 15 seconds, and then add 37 to it, it should give you the approximate temperature of the room you're in or outside if the cricket's outside. Okay, so go to clip number 2 that
in
is exactly
15 seconds.
In 15 seconds, and I need you to count the chirps. And everybody else listening right now as well.
Okay.
So this is 15 seconds. And more, you did this this morning with me. I did not edit this at all.
This is true.
I didn't make it shorter or longer. This is 15 seconds.
That's what she said.
Okay. So go right now. Play it.
Yeah.
And I need everybody to count the amount of chirps until we agree on an exact chirp
number. Do we count out loud?
No.
Okay.
Go ahead. What did you get, Maureen?
39.
Okay. I also got 39. Now, I'm going to add
39 plus 37,
because that was the exact 15 seconds.
76?
Right? So 76. Now, I'm going to show you. I took this picture right after I recorded this. This is the thermostat inside my living room. What does that say?
Bro, that says 76.
76 degrees.
Holy!
Maureen?
Come on.
Either they're predicting it or the cricket can read.
No, the cricket can't read.
So you mean to tell me that in a 15-second span, the amount of cricket noises that you hear.
Yes.
You take that number and add it to 37, and that will give you the current temperature of the surrounding area.
Is that how like our ancestors figured out what temperature it was?
I have no idea. Play it again and let's count it. Let's count it again just to make sure. Okay.
3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39.
Okay, so 39 plus 37
is 76
equals 76. And that picture again, right there, my thermostat
is 76 degrees.
That's crazy.
Right? And I almost killed this little magical bugger with a butter knife.
Right? Wow, crickets are magic.
Thank you.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Coming up in just a couple minutes, Mocha.
Yes.
I'm going to introduce you to a guy named Nathan Booz out of Wisconsin. And we always hear these stories of people finding their long-lost parents or parents finding their long-lost kids after adoption, after separation. Who knows what the deal is? Mm-hmm. And oftentimes these stories involved far-off places and online ancestry trees and everything else.
Sure.
But what if the person who is the closest to you in your life, a parent and a child, what if you've been friends and working together for years and just didn't know it?
Huh? What are you talking about?
So Nathan Booz is on the phone right now.
Okay.
And he's from Wisconsin. And he just found his biological father.
Okay.
But unlike other stories, this wasn't a tale of continents away and flights and online hunting.
Okay.
This is a guy he's actually worked with for 2 years.
What?
His dad is his coworker, and he didn't know it. Neither of them knew it.
What the hell?
Yeah, Nathan's on the phone right now.
Yo, Nathan.
Yeah.
What's up, man? It's Roz and Mocha. How are you?
Oh, not too bad.
So, Nathan, I was just explaining to Mocha and everybody else that you found your biological father, who's also your coworker, but neither of you knew, right? Like, you didn't know that your coworker Bob was your dad, and Bob didn't know that you were his kid, right?
No, not at all. No.
How did you find out?
My mom just came over one day, and, you know, because we were friends on Facebook. And she said,
"To you and your dad, you and Bob,
your dad on Facebook."
Oh God!
Oh man!
So, is your mom your biological mom, or are you adopted?
I'm adopted.
Okay, so this is your adopted mom, but she knew who your biological parents were and never told you.
Yeah, she knew who my mom was.
Okay,
because we're somewhat related to her,
right?
But she wasn't 100% sure who my dad was, but she was like 90% sure. 90-95% sure it was Bob, and then I just messaged him on Facebook, and it went from there.
What did you say to Bob on Facebook?
I just asked him if he knew who, you know, my biological mother was, because I knew her name.
Yeah.
After my mom came over, and he's like, yeah, it's my ex-wife.
Wait, and so... Oh, man, there's, like, so many intricate details of this story. So did your dad, Bob, know about you prior to you guys finding out that you're actually father and son? Like, he knew he had a son, but did he know where his son was living?
No, he had no idea. Okay. It was a closed adoption.
Yeah.
And see, my birth mother knew where I went, but
Bob did.
She was withholding information.
Oh, snap. So where do you guys work?
We work at Rock Solid Transport. It's out of Eau Claire, Wisconsin.
Okay. And you guys see each other like every single day.
It's only like 20 trucks.
Yeah.
So are you and Bob friends? Like, were you friends before
this?
Yeah,
we were friends before we even found out.
But now, do you kind of go back and like try and figure out, like, are there similarities? Like, do you maybe laugh the same? Do you have the same mannerisms? Like, have you noticed stuff like that now?
Yeah. The first story that was ran on our local news station, the reporter pointed it out, and I didn't notice it until she said something. But we have the same sense of humor, we walk the same, we kind of talk the same.
Hold on, you know? Wait, so nobody at work ever pointed out, hey, Nathan, Bob, you guys kind of laugh the same, or you guys kind of look the same, or have you guys ever noticed that he kind of walked the same? Like, nobody made that connection whatsoever. They just thought you guys were like best buds.
Yeah, they thought we were just good friends, and then it blew everybody's mind once we found out.
That's so wild. And so the story goes, you're getting married too, right?
Yep, I'm set to be married in May. This coming May.
Oh, nice. Congrats.
Next year.
I assume Bob is invited?
Oh, absolutely. He's going to be sitting at the parents' table.
Wow.
Oh, right.
But was Bob, I love that. Was Bob invited before this?
Yeah, I actually invited a bunch of people from work.
Well, there you go. That's the story of Nathan and Bob. Nathan adopted, didn't know who his dad was, had been working with Bob for a couple of years. They're coworkers. Father and son, neither of them knew about each other.
Wait, before we let you go, Nathan, so is your relationship any different now with Bob?
I don't think so. I mean, I think it drew us closer together as friends, but
yeah,
like it hasn't changed it in a negative way at all.
No, definitely not. But like, are you talking about maybe, you know, spending Thanksgiving together, or maybe bringing the families together, or doing something for Christmas? Or do you think that you may, I don't know, get him a card for Father's Day?
I, you know, as we like to say, we're just going to take it one day at a time from here.
Yeah.
You know, just kind of see where things go. Because, like I say, you know, he was a good friend before, and like he had mentioned, we never had that father-son relationship growing up. So, I mean, we're probably just going to stay good friends. I don't know if we're going to take it any further than that. I mean, maybe one day, but I don't know. We'll see what happens.
So wow. Wild. That's crazy, dude. Hey, Nathan, thanks very much for sharing your story on the Roz and Mocha Show with us.
Not a problem. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Question for you, Mocha.
Mm.
At what point does pizza not become pizza or cease to be pizza when it comes to toppings?
I have this argument all the time with a friend of mine where, because I don't mind a chicken. I don't mind chicken on pizza. Yeah. I actually kind of like it. And he tells me that that's not pizza. It's something else. It may be delicious, but that is no longer pizza.
No, I would still
Once you start doing chicken on pizza, it's not pizza anymore. It's something else. It's like a flatbread kind of thing, no, but it's not pizza.
I would still consider chicken on pizza pizza, but I think you're at that level of anything beyond that.
Yeah.
May not be pizza.
Okay, so let me
depending on what else you're putting on. Like I, for me, the ultimate would be like Meat Lovers.
Right.
Right? Meat Lovers is the epitome of pizza.
So where's the line then? When
anything
does,
after,
when does pizza,
like,
but when does pizza not become, when is pizza not pizza?
I think beyond when it becomes too heavy of a slice, right? I think when it becomes way too heavy that you can't pick it up, or when you do pick up the slice,
okay,
all the toppings start falling
okay
off.
So let's not say just give me one sec, let's just say this, let's just say that it's not about the amount of toppings, let's yeah just say I take a pizza
yep
and I open up a can of tuna and spread a can of tuna on it.
Oh,
is
gross.
That still pizza?
But no.
Is it still pizza?
Because what does it say is pizza is the act of what you're doing on top of it. Pizza, you could put anything on it and still call it pizza because it's the act of what it is. So if you want
that
to put tuna
sense
on your
the
pizza
act of what
it's
it
the
is
act of the flatbread and toppings on top of and putting the oven. Pizza is the creation of what is on the bread. You could put anything on pizza, right? Because pizza is the bread.
That makes
the
no
dough
sense whatsoever.
No, it's the act
no
of putting something.
I know what you're I know what you're getting at, where you're saying that anything that goes on that initial dough into an oven is pizza because it's that sort of dough that makes it a pizza.
Yeah, so if you want to put a can of tuna and rub it on, then that's your
okay, here's what I'm getting at. So
rubbing
there's
the tuna
there's
on
a
it
pizza joint in New York called Lions and Tigers and Squares. And they're doing a pizza.
I like that
okay
name. Okay.
They're doing a pizza right now that there's no red sauce on it. Instead of the red sauce.
That's not pizza.
Okay. Instead of the red sauce, it's spicy mustard. And the toppings on the pizza are corned beef, cheese, and sauerkraut. So basically, it's a Reuben sandwich just on a pizza. Is that a pizza?
No, that's an open-faced Reuben.
But it's on a pizza.
Nah, that's
so I just don't
Reuben
know where the line is when something
that's the line
ceases to be
they
a cross pizza
the line right there. You can't have a pizza with pizza dough and you don't put sauce and cheese on it.
Some Italian pizzas don't have sauce on it.
I know, but still, that's
but you know what
a,
I mean.
That's a sandwich.
You,
that's a sandwich.
But you know what I mean, though, right? So when does that's a question? When does a pizza cease to be a pizza? Because I find it difficult that they can call this thing a pizza, although I put chicken on pizza and people tell me that that is no longer a pizza.
Yeah, but
it's
you
something
still have
else
like,
that's delicious.
You still have like mozzarella cheese on it. You still got the sauce on it, tomato sauce.
No, because sometimes I'll put feta on it. And sometimes I won't put tomato sauce on it. Sometimes I'll put pesto sauce on it.
What about the company that sells chocolate pizza and
that's
calls
not
it a pizza?
Pizza? That's not pizza.
It's frozen in the freezer
but
section.
That's not even a pizza dough,
no,
though.
That's ice cream,
that's
though
like a... That's something completely
cookie
different.
And ice cream.
That's like when you make a cake that looks like a motorcycle. It's not a motorcycle.
No, this is a chocolate
right
pizza.
It's not actually a motorcycle.
Is it made with pizza dough?
Yeah, it's by Dr. Oetker. You know, yeah, they have all the frozen ones.
They're not good. Anyway, let's not go down that road because that's not actually pizza. That's just a dessert.
Let's see if we can get some calls. Hey, Kiss, it's Roz and Mocha. Hey, what's up?
So, first of all, it all comes down to the sauce. If there's no red sauce, it's not pizza.
That's not true, though, because you can go to... I went to Rome, dude, and had pizza that had no red sauce on it.
Yeah, but
we can call that, like, a focaccia. We can call that a bruschetta. Like, but, like, yeah, any toppings on bread, for sure. To be a pizza, we're talking red sauce, and I think cheese.
Well, I mean, I will side with Roz on this because there's a lot of pizza joints that we visit, that my wife and I go to, and the pizza that they have with no red sauce, with no tomato sauce, they just call it a white pizza.
Yeah, pizza right? Blanco or whatever.
Yeah, but yeah, what you got,
they use like olive oil, they still use cheese, they still put some toppings on it.
If you have to preface it with white pizza, haven't we already departed from pizza?
So you're saying as soon as you take off the red sauce, it ceases to be a pizza. That's your line.
It's a variation of pizza, yeah, but it's not true pizza.
See, everybody has a different line because yeah, I don't mind a pizza that has like a little fresh pesto rubbed on that
dough.
Oh,
absolutely not. But absolutely not. I'm Italian. We'll put anything on bread and eat it. But it's definitely not a true pizza.
Okay, there you go. So for you, it's red sauce. When you take the red sauce off, it's no longer a pizza. What's your
you
name?
Got it.
What's your name?
Michael.
Michael. Thanks for the call, bro.
No worries. Take care, guys.
Hey, Ron Zamoka, what do you want to say about the pizza?
Hey, man. Tomato sauce. That's my line in the sand. Yeah. I've got tomato sauce on it still, you know? I think feel like that's a real
all right,
pizza.
So no tomato sauce, it's not a pizza.
That's we've heard this before now.
All
so
right.
So the red line is the red sauce, apparently.
Here we go. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Well, it's here. It's happening. The Toronto International Film Festival, the 43rd Toronto International Film Festival.
Keep a lookout for all the celebrities walking around town.
They don't do that.
Visiting Yorkville.
Chris Pine's Outlaw King is going to open the festival tonight. What's that movie about? Is it like an old-timey period thing? Or?
Yeah, and it's Netflix.
It's Netflix.
Oh,
they're opening the film festival with a Netflix movie?
Yeah. Wow.
What a world.
Like that.
What a time to be alive.
I kind of like that.
What a time to be alive. There's a lot of people. I think it's like Spielberg that doesn't think that Netflix movies should even be considered movies.
Why?
Like, yeah, I don't know. He's old school,
spending,
man.
Spending like big budget money on it, though.
Yeah, he's old school.
On Netflix stuff.
Yeah.
I'm down for that. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
They got my money.
And Dammit Maury, fully accredited, again, will be out on all the red carpets for the show, talking to some of the biggest stars in the world.
And a lot of times, too, Dammit Maury will get the opportunity to talk to some of these big-time celebs that visit the city. And sometimes it's Dammit Maury and Dammit Maury alone. Like, despite all the media that is out on a carpet, it will only be Maury that will get that A-list celebrity that people have been waiting hours and hours to see.
Are you going to wear the head cam? Do you still wear the head cam? Because people look at the head cam and they're used to it now. Like, there's stars who love the head cam. Like, if Maury shows up at interviews sometimes, the stars are like, hey, dude, where's the helmet, man?
Yeah.
Because they want the head cam, right? It's like Teen Wolf. Like, we don't want Maury. We want, you know, we want the wolf.
Yeah.
Like, don't show up normal. Like, we didn't invite you. We didn't invite you here to be Maury.
Yeah.
We want the helmet.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing? And when he first started wearing it, if you're unfamiliar, it's a bicycle helmet with a camera on the top of it because Maury needed to film stuff. And he didn't have a cameraman, so he put a old, like, and I know a lot of people do this now. This is even before GoPro straps. Like,
yeah.
He had a camera on, like, he drilled it to the top of a motorcycle or top of a bicycle helmet.
You're welcome, GoPro.
And stars would see him on the carpet, and they would just see a short guy with his little belly and plaid shirt and striped shirt and boat shoes at the end of a red carpet wearing a helmet, and they would look at Maury like he was there because of some charity.
Yeah. And they're like, I'll go talk to this guy.
Like it's a make a wish kind of thing.
Sure.
Right? You know? And so they felt bad for him and they would come over and then it would be like, who the hell is that guy? But then they started loving him. And so let's go through some of the better moments of Maury and some of the biggest stars that we've talked to over the past couple of years.
I mean, when you say better moments,
yeah.
I would say entertaining moments.
Yes. Okay.
Right.
Sure.
Because when you have an opportunity to talk to, an A-list celebrity,
yeah.
You'd want to ask them a question either about the movie,
sure.
About their life.
Yeah.
Maybe they've been in the news lately. So let's start with Johnny Depp.
Okay.
The great Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
Here we go. Johnny, how hard is it for Johnny Depp to be Johnny Depp?
Really difficult.
Little did we know, like this is before he cut off his own finger and wrote a love letter to his wife in the mirror in the bathroom, right? Like, I would say it's pretty accurate. It's very difficult to be Johnny Depp. I spent
Ryan Gosling as much as I would love
wine.
To stare.
Hey, what?
I spent $40,000 a month on wine. We didn't know that at the time.
Ryan Gosling, as much as I would love to stare into your eyes, I have to ask you a question.
Okay.
This film, by the way, congratulations, incredible.
Thank you.
Also in this, you are such an incredible romantic. What kind of a romantic are you in real life?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know how to answer that.
You won't get this on any other show.
Yeah, no,
you
exclusive.
Won't get this from any other interviewer.
No, we're dropping bombs.
Right?
How is he? Can you not answer that question? He's so difficult, Ryan Gosling. So difficult.
my favorite person that Dan Mori has ever talked to is Angelina Jolie.
Right.
And Dan Mori had the opportunity two times on two separate occasions, right, two different years, to get Angelina Jolie when nobody else got her.
Right.
So let's dip back to last year when he got her on the red carpet. So much to talk to Angelina about, yeah, and he decides to talk to her about this.
Angelina, what is your favorite kind of bread?
Bread? I have no idea.
Okay. Can I just explain why and also the ridiculousness of that question? So Angelina did a movie. She was executive producer of a movie called The Breadwinner. And what The Breadwinner was, is it was an animated feature about a girl in Afghanistan, a little girl in Afghanistan, whose father falls ill. And then he's captured by the Taliban, and girls aren't allowed to work. So she had to dress like a boy to go out and work to support the family. Hence, she became the breadwinner.
Yeah. Super serious movie.
Right? It's a Taliban kidnapped father, daughter acting like a boy in a country where girls aren't allowed to work
and
movie.
And one of the most talked about movies of TIFF last year.
Yes. Not about bread.
At all, Maury. I think that's why she was thrown off. And we'll end on this, going back to Angelina. The very first time when David Mori talked to her,
yeah,
again, every news outlet in the world was in Toronto because Angelina and Brad Pitt were here, yeah, to talk about, because they were debuting Moneyball.
Right.
So David Mori gets to talk to Angelina.
Angelina, if you were to play baseball, what position would you play?
I don't know enough about baseball to tell you.
I feel it in Toronto.
So for the next 10 yeah days, Tim is in Toronto.
Like, you don't know shortstop? Like, you can't just say shortstop, right?
Hey. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
You're going to love this story, Roz.
Oh, please.
A Connecticut man told police he was a paranormal investigator faces several charges after firing shots in his house at what he told police may have been a ghost.
Oh, wow. If you knew anything about ghosts, you know you can't shoot a ghost, right?
And this guy's supposed to be a paranormal investigator. Okay. So he should know firsthand that you can't shoot a ghost.
Thank you.
Right?
Yes. And I don't even believe in ghosts. Why am I even commenting on this? As you were.
This guy faces charges including the illegal discharge of a firearm, making a false statement to police, second-degree reckless endangerment, misusing an emergency call, and disorderly conduct.
Wow.
He put two bullet holes in his wall on July 26th, initially reporting the incident as an attempted break-in. He later told police he believes the intruder was actually a spirit.
So what's he trying to cover up then?
He's trying to cover up the fact that he thought there was a ghost in the house and he tried to shoot it.
Okay, so hold on here.
He originally called the police saying, hey, somebody broke into my house.
Okay.
And then when the cops showed up, he was like, just kidding. It's not actually a human being that I think broke into the house. I think it was a ghost. So I took shots at the ghost.
See, I don't know what makes
I'm a paranormal investigator.
Right, Jesus.
So I would know what a ghost looks like.
This is a tough one because I don't know what makes you sound more mad. I don't know if you sound more mad if you say, if a person tried to break into your house and you shot at them and you didn't want police to think that you shot at a person, so you say, I thought it was a ghost. Or if you thought a ghost was breaking into your house and you shot at the ghost, and then when you called police you said that it was a person because you didn't want people to think that you're shooting at a ghost. Like, I don't know what makes you sound more nuts.
One of those. Both. I think both.
And also, I don't believe in ghosts. I'm like, ghosts, there's no such thing as ghosts. Okay?
That's this guy.
No, there's no.
You shot him
no,
one.
And the paranormal world and all that, there is no such thing as ghosts.
I knew you'd love this story.
No, I don't.
Here we go. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
I sometimes find that the streets get busier different times in the summer.
Oh,
my,
for sure.
My commute back from, like, if I'm doing ET where I have to come back downtown from Don Mills and Eglinton, there's no difference between July and October.
I think a lot of people take like half days to get into the city and just do stuff.
Yeah.
Right? Or half days so they can get out of the city and go do stuff.
Yeah. No, I know. It's like this story I was just reading.
What, on traffic?
No, that asked if your commute should count as part of your work hours.
Ooh.
So that was the question. Should your commute count as part of your work hours? Would it be better if you were getting paid to go into work?
It'd be nice.
So a new study just threw it out there. Should your commute count as part of your work hours? Of course people are going to say yes. Because they claim, after all, it's part of your job to get there and back. I highly disagree with this. Highly disagree with this. According to the scientists behind the study, the answer is yes, you should get paid for your commute. But they did find some people that...
Why do they even do a study like this?
Well, because they're morons.
Now they're just stirring up stuff.
Yeah, well, they're morons. But you can't say you get part of your... I understand if it was a standardized thing where you were given a grace period of, say, 30 minutes per day that you were then billed for your commute. But you can't say you're going to get charged for your commute, because you get people who live in Toronto or who work in Toronto, and then they're going to say, okay, well, I'm going to actually move to Guelph. Sure. Because I can get a big old house, and I'm just going to drive in from Guelph every day. That's a hell of a drive.
What about people who have to commute from like Oshawa?
Yeah.
Into downtown Toronto.
Yeah, same thing, right?
Right?
It's like, you know, you're not getting paid for that.
Yeah.
And then what, you also want to take the 407? I got to pay for that too? No.
That'd be nice.
It would be nice, right? Sure. In a perfect world. So let me ask a question. If you live outside the city and take the 407 into work, should work paid for it? Yes is the answer. Of course you're going to say yes.
Yeah.
Why totally. Would you say no?
I would be taking a 407 for no GD reason.
Yeah, but I do think, though, that there is a place where there could be a number that was thrown out there that was sort of universal and standardized for everybody. So if you had said 30 minutes is what employees are given for whatever company as part of your commute, those are then, you know, sort of billable hours or worked into your 40-hour work week. You know, 30 minutes a day.
But like you said, people may eat. 30 minutes makes a difference. So somebody may move a little further where they can afford a little bit more. And use that 30-minute grace.
Yeah, no.
Right? Factor that into it.
Yeah, no, I hear you. It's crazy, though. It's an interesting question. It's like when we were talking about the other study that said that, I think it was, people over 40 shouldn't work more than 3 days a week. You know? And that brings us back to, I have said my whole adult life that the next person running for prime minister who campaigns on a 10-hour workday with a 4-day work week, you know, I will vote for them regardless. Even if they're completely inept. They could be anything, like a former drama teacher, and I'd still vote for them.
Got it, vote. Hey.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Hi, it's Roz and Mocha. What's going on?
Hi there. I'm just driving to work with my kids and my 5-year-old son.
My name is Adriano.
Adriano.
She is obsessed with your show. Aww. And every morning tells me, please call them. Can we call these guys? Can we call these guys? I said, what are you going to say? So he wanted to say hi.
Okay.
He's so funny.
Who's so funny?
Every day on the radio.
Aww. How old are you, Adriano? How old are you, Adriano?
5.
You're 5.
Wow. How's your summer?
Good.
What have you been doing? Did you get your driver's license yet?
No.
Oh, okay.
Just a kid.
Oh, you're just a kid. Okay, okay.
What's your favorite part of the show?
My favorite part of the show was when the panda bear said, I love you.
Is when the what?
When you guys play the animal sounds and the panda dog said, I love you.
Oh.
And the duck walked up to
the
lemonade.
And the duck song you just
played. The duck song, waddle, waddle.
Yes. And the duck walked up to a lemonade stand. He said to the man, run in the stand. Hey,
bop, bop, bop.
Got any grapes? That song?
You love that.
And then he waddled away. Waddle, waddle.
So, Adriano, between Roz and Mocha, who's your favorite?
Who's your favorite, Roz or Mocha? Which one's your favorite?
Panda.
My daughter just said,
Mocha.
Mocha.
Oh, Mocha.
Mocha. Hey. How about you, Mom? Yay. Between Roz and Mocha, who's your favorite?
I guess he takes after Mom. I got to go with Mocha.
Right. You got to raise that kid better.
Shut up.
He's a good kid.
He sounds like a great kid. Hey, listen, everybody in the car, thank you for listening to the Roz and Mocha Show.
Say thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Yeah. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Yo, Roz and Mocha, who's this?
Hey, how you doing? It's Joey B.
What's up, man?
Listen, I was out at a, what do you call it, live on location on the weekend up here in Vaughan.
Uh-huh.
Ran into Mocha. Now, I'd never met him before. I had this vision in my head. I got to tell you.
Hold on. You ran into Maury.
Sorry. I meant Maury.
Right. Okay.
Totally different type of guy than I expected to meet.
What kind of guy did you expect to meet?
I'm ready to run into, damn it, Maury, this guy's an idiot.
Yeah.
He was nothing like that. Like, super nice guy. Did a great job. Plus, got to tell you, he's better looking in person than he is in pictures.
Stop calling in to tell Maury he's good looking.
Is this why Maury was like waving his arms, being like, yo, you got to take this phone call right now, right now, right now. Stop everything you're doing. Take this phone call right now. Man.
No idea.
Maury, why don't you give the people what they want? Get in here. Why don't you give the people what they want? When they show up, but when you're on, like, out doing an appearance, you have to give the people what they want.
Dude, I just act like myself. I can't help if I ooze sexuality.
Where does it ooze from? Where was Maury's sexuality oozing from?
Okay, I don't know about how much it was oozing, but okay. Let me tell you.
What was attractive about Maury?
Just, he was super nice.
Yeah.
Right? I was there with my kid. He was great with him. He signed him a picture, which, you know, my kid's now using for target practice, but that's fine. But he just loved it. Like, it was just great having him there.
Right.
And it was nice meeting him. And I'm thinking to myself, you guys kind of got to go a little easier on him.
Right.
Like, do you feel bad for him.
Do you even remember this guy, Maury?
No.
No, of course not. There you go. That's the Maury. Hello?
Yeah. I'm a little taken aback right now.
You wanted more. You got more.
Have a great day, brother.
Later, pal.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
I'm reading a story about just the opulence of opulence here.
Of what?
So we know that when there's like vacuums and hair dryers and fans and all sorts of stuff, but the level up is always when you fork out the money for a Dyson, right?
Yeah.
And I have a couple products in my life that are Dyson, and they are life changing. The hair dryer is life changing. The Dyson hair dryer is the greatest hair dryer I've ever used.
Yeah.
Like, hands down, pants down, nothing is ever compared to the Dyson hair dryer.
I use it to dry the dog when we give him a bath.
Yeah, there you go. It's even great for the dog.
And he freaking loves it.
Yeah.
He feels like he's at a spa.
Oh, it's so incredible. Sometimes I'll just sit in the bathroom and just like put it on a low setting and just hit my face with it.
Yeah.
Like, it's the air quality and it's just so wonderful. So Dyson is now releasing a 23.75 karat gold hair dryer for $699.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
Are you going
to
buy it?
I never knew that I needed to blow dry my hair with a gold hair dryer. But now that I see this story, I'm like, why have I not done this before in my life? Like, I imagine this is what, remember like back in the day when you'd see a police academy and a movie and they always had like a sheik character who was like this rich Arab. And this is the kind of stuff that those guys did in those terrible movies in the 80s.
Sure.
You could tell somebody was rich because everything they had was gold. I remember thinking, my dad would always tell me these stories of like, that guy's probably got a gold toilet. Like, to me, that was the... To me, my old man,
is that rich?
My old man judged if somebody was rich or not, whether they had a gold toilet, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was always the Taj Mahal. I bet you the Taj Mahal is full of gold toilets, right? my old man judged wealth on whether or not somebody could afford a gold toilet because that is the height of excess.
Yeah.
Like, when you have everything else and you've spent your money on everything else, when somebody says, you have so much money, what could you possibly spend your money on? That's when somebody goes, gold toilets.
If you go to the restaurant that Drake owns,
yeah,
in his private bathroom,
yeah,
gold toilet.
But actual gold toilets are just like gold toilets,
gold toilet
made out of gold.
Wow.
Yeah, see, that's the whole thing, man. You want a gold toilet. So now I'm like, gold hair dryer,
man. Ain't nobody, I think you're gonna be the only person that would spend money on a gold hair dryer.
You think so?
I don't think anybody don't think so. Else out there,
I don't think so.
Nobody else out there is gonna spend money on a gold hair dryer.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, but what's gonna happen one time when your kid puts it down roughly on the counter and dings it?
I don't care.
You're not gonna get mad.
Let's go buy another one.
Let's go buy another one, Maury.
Stop everything for a moment. You have enough money for two gold hair dryers?
I'm almost at gold toilet level here.
Yeah. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
We haven't done this in a while. You guys want to play mouse charades?
Yes.
And now it's time for the game everybody loves to play.
It's like charades, but you make the noise of clues with your mouth. It's mouth charades. So get ready, get silly, and start to make those mouth charades.
Well, I'm going to say this right out of the gate. I'm going to lose.
All right, that's how you play mouth charades.
I've never won a round. I think maybe in all the times we played this, I've only ever guessed one thing correctly.
I think so, yeah.
I'm really terrible at mouth charades, and Maury is also not the best clue giver. So mouth charades works very much like just charades. The clues are given only with sounds, though, and damn it, Maury will be the sound giver, the clue giver. No hand motions, no pantomime, only no sort mouth. Of body motions, yeah. Only sounds with your mouth. And
I have to move my lips at some point.
Okay, Maury, thank you. It's myself against Mocha. We get that that's a part of it.
Just explaining
no,
to people.
No, stop. See, this is why I don't want to play. I don't want to play anymore. I don't want to play anymore.
That's how you play a mouth charade.
I don't play anymore.
No, just come on, man. Let's play.
It's not fun, though.
It's fun. You're
I just go through the rules and explain the rules, and then you just hold us up with nonsense.
You're holding us up right now. Let's go. Okay, your first clue.
Okay, so you have clues in front of you. You will give the clues. 20 seconds on the clock, and hopefully I can get one right. Yeah. Mocha, you will get to go first because you, of course, won the last round. So 20 seconds on the clock.
Yeah, so hold on. You're going to hear a ding to signify the 20 seconds starting, 20 seconds of silence, and then a double buzz to signify that 20 seconds is done.
Okay.
Are we ready, gentlemen?
I have to pick my word now.
Yes, you do, Maury.
Okay.
And go.
A horse. Or a horse running. Rain hitting a windowsill. Snapping. Clicking of your tongue. Running. Tap dancing. Yay! Tap dancing.
Why are you cheering, Maury?
Because it means that I did a good job.
No, that's bias.
Why? I'll cheer for you if you ever get one.
Tap dancing my ass.
All right. Was that not it? It was it,
was
right?
Was it tap
right
dancing?
There, tap dancing.
Oh, you jerks.
Hold on. Let me mark that down.
Oh, okay.
A giant check mark. Yeah.
Is my name even on that piece of paper?
No.
Okay.
Here, listen.
All right.
Check mark for Mocha.
Okay, go ahead. Okay. Okay, I'm ready.
Are you?
Yes, sir.
Dan Moore, you ready?
Okay, can I gotta get the word?
Yes. Go.
A garage door. That is, that is like something falling to earth. That is a crash of some sort. What was it?
A tree falling.
A tree falling. What was the beginning part you did?
You know, when the branches start cracking and then it sort of falls through the other branches of the other trees next to it and then boom, down on the ground.
Oh, no, not at all. Not even close. This is impossible, this game. There's not one person listening to this right now that even remotely got that.
Yeah,
okay.
I was going to say tree falling.
Okay, Mocha, your next turn to get one right.
Thanks. Ready, Maury?
Okay.
And go.
Are you going to guess?
It's your turn.
It's a Mocha word.
Oh, ping pong.
Yes.
Oh, shut up. Shut up. A man dying. I heard that. A man dying. A man dying in front of me.
Give him that.
A man dying in front of me. Was that? Oh, that wasn't my word?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Wow. Like a boss.
This is rigged, man. Absolutely rigged.
Hold on, here. Hold on. We got to keep track of the score.
Yeah.
Let me make another check mark for myself.
Okay. My turn. 20 seconds on the clock. Maury, grab a word.
Hold on.
Morse code. A song. That is a... an umpapa band that is slowly running out of gas. Oh, what is it?
Record slowly slowing down on a record player. Record slowing down on a record player.
And do the sound again, please. Okay.
Now do you get it? You heard it now.
Yeah, but you know what? Like, your version of music is so bizarre.
It has to be like I can only use my mouth.
That's why it's called Monster Is, bro.
Yeah, I know. But I don't have a whole orchestra in my mouth.
Like, what is that?
Oh, record player slowing down on a record player.
Shut up. Stop it. Can we just say I lost?
No, let's do it. Do you want to do one more?
Do we have time?
One more mocha word?
I don't even have to go. I can't win.
Okay.
Okay. And 20 seconds on the clock and go. You got to be louder.
Same noise as before. That's definitely rain. A car wash. Rain hitting a windowsill. Rain hitting a windshield. Thunderstorm. Chewing. That is a.
A crackling fire.
That's a crackling fire.
Yeah.
Do it again.
That doesn't sound like anything to me. That's just
literally whispering just between the walls.
You know what that is? You know what that is? That's somebody at night having like some sort of night terror where something's like crawling all over you. Like that's
should
the
sound
that
it makes.
Should
the guy that got none of them right really be commenting on this?
I didn't get any right because you're awful.
And that's how you play Mouse Raids.
The Roz and Mocha Show
podcast
is sending somebody a drunk voice note over text the new drunk call.
Oh God.
You know what I mean?
I haven't done that yet. I haven't received one.
As I wonder if that's the way things go, because I don't have a lot of friends that go out and get loaded and then just like leave you late night voicemails like you used to.
Yeah.
Come to the party. Where are you?
Yeah.
Like, remember those calls?
Oh, for sure.
So I wonder if when people get those calls now, they're just the recorded voice notes. Because
probably.
Damn it,
that would make more sense.
More.
I remember the place that I used to work at, the radio station, like years and years ago,
yeah.
We used to go and get loaded after like at a party or whatever.
Yeah.
We would always drunk dial our boss's office number. So when he showed up on Monday and he checked his voicemail,
yeah.
It would be all of his employees just like partying and just like nonstop messages.
And I completely get that. And so I think the new way is, because I started getting these last night from Maury. Where were you last night, Maury? Were you getting drunk on the Ryan Reynolds gin?
Yeah.
Is that where you were? Wednesday?
Yeah.
We were on sort of like a party bus for his new aviation gin.
Right. And how is it? Delicious?
It's actually really good.
Yeah.
And I had many.
And you had many. What is
on
many?
On a Wednesday? Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 6 drinks.
So here, I'll tell you this. So I started getting messages from Maury. The first one came in at 7:45 p.m.
On a Wednesday?
7:45 p.m. You didn't swear in these, did you?
No.
No. Are you sure?
No.
No. Oh. So this is Maury hammered on Ryan Reynolds gin.
Okay. So I'm having some gin, which makes me an gin. Okay. And if I have several of these, it'll stop the aging process. Oh, wait, who am I messaging? I don't know.
Okay. So that was message number one.
Oh my God.
So that's how drunk Maury was at 7:55 yesterday.
Holy cow, dude.
And then I got the next message from Maury at 9:56, so 2 hours later.
On a Wednesday?
Can you pass my message?
I think I'm texting Roz. Okay, so we're having gin and I'm an ingenious. Do you get it? Ingenious. And if I have a few more, it'll stop the aging process. Okay, so like, yeah. I'm trying to put the straw in my mouth and it won't go in my mouth. Excuse me. Excuse me in the kitchen. Does anybody know how
oh
this...
God.
Whoa, you're all blurry. Does anyone know how this...
You bother people in the kitchen?
Sing gin and juice.
I don't.
Wait, come in here, come here. Come closer. How does it go?
Sipping on gin and juice.
Lay back.
With my mind in my mind.
With my money in my mind.
Yeah. Yes!
What was that noise you made at the end? You sounded like a baby raptor. At the very end.
Holy cow.
Can you isolate that noise? The very last noise he made.
Hold on here.
Yeah.
That one.
Yeah, that's a baby raptor being born. I've seen Jurassic Park.
Holy cow, yeah. Dude, I can't believe you got that drunk on a Wednesday.
Okay, so like, yeah. I'm trying to put the straw in my mouth and it won't go in my mouth. Excuse me in the kitchen. Does anybody know how this, wow, you're all blurry. Does anyone know how the song Gin and Juice goes?
No.
Sing Gin and Juice.
I don't.
Lay back.
Wait, come here. Come closer. How does it go?
I'm sipping on gin and juice.
Lay back.
With my mind in my mind.
With my money in my mind.
Yes!
Here we go. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
People magazine's list of the 2018-10 best dressed stars.
Oh. Dwayne Rock Johnson.
No, it's all no, it's all women.
Oh.
Lady Gaga.
No, incorrect.
Angelina Jolie.
Angelina Jolie. No, not
Kim Kardashian.
There. Kim Kardashian West. Yes, oh. She's on there.
Oh yeah? Okay, hold on. Let me take another guess. Oh, Sandra Bullock.
Sandra Bullock is on there. Number 1098.
Nicole Kidman.
Nicole Kidman. No. Here, let me do this for you. Margot Robbie. Oh. Angela Bassett.
Yep.
Sandra Bullock. Kim Kardashian. Tracy Ellis Ross.
She is fierce.
J-Lo.
What?
Cate Blanchett. Amal Clooney Mocha.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lupita Nyong'o. And Meghan Markle. Who I learned yesterday, we should not be referring to Meghan as Meghan Markle anymore.
No, she
because
has a whole,
she hasn't
the
been
Duchess.
Meghan Markle for a while now, even though everybody still calls her Meghan Markle.
She's the Duchess of Sussex.
Yeah, she's the Duchess. She's the Duchess of Sussex.
Duchess of Sussex.
Shut up, Maury. She's Meghan, the Duchess of Sussex.
Oh.
Yeah, that's her name.
I'm still call her Meghan Markle though.
Yeah, no, so do I. Anyway, she's number one on the list. But I don't think I don't think that you can, like, when you say the sort of best dressed.
Yeah.
This doesn't take into account your own style, because this just takes into account you're basically a mannequin at this point.
Sure.
You're the best dressed as in people dress you.
Yes, of course.
Right? You're not the best dressed as in you have the best style. You're the best dressed
like
as
she
in
can't say,
you look the best when people say wear this.
Exactly. She can't say, hey, I really like this, you know, black and white dress. Because then somebody in the palace would be like, well, no.
Well, no, I think there's a little no going on. I think that she can say, I like that black and white dress. But I think that there are rules where they'd be like, but we have to put a big giant border around the bottom of it because it's too high up your knee.
Right.
Right.
And well, you got to wear this hat.
And you got to wear this hat.
That was the thing. Yeah. She went to a party, was it last week? And her dress was above the knee. And people were like, exactly. Yeah. That was the reaction.
Shocking. Right? Isn't that crazy? It's so wild. All these rules that you have to live by. But yeah, it's interesting when you look at the best dress list, because I always used to look at these lists as somebody with great personal style, because some of those people used to make it on the list. But this list is really, when it comes to best dress, this is the people who wear clothes that people tell them to wear better than anyone else.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
It's modeling, basically, is what you're doing. But so there you go.
You do have a wide group of, I guess, different styles, because Amal Clooney is going to dress differently than Sandra Bullock would.
Oh, no, 100%. And just like, and she's not on the list, but just you look at Julia Roberts, where Julia Roberts only ever wears suits now.
Yeah.
And she looks dope.
Yeah.
Right? But she only ever wears suits. She doesn't wear dresses anymore when she does events. And like hardly ever. Like once I've seen her in the past like 5 years.
You know what? You're right.
Wear a dress. She just wears suits.
Now
that's her deal.
It, yeah.
That's her thing.
You're right.
Yeah.
But anyway, so there you go. Meghan Markle, or excuse me, the Meghan, the Duchess of Sussex, number one on People Magazine's list of the 10 best dressed stars.
Yeah. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
So we beat the heat temperature record yesterday. I know, Mocha, you were very excited. You were like, 1945, we are coming for you.
That's right.
Because that was the last time.
You're not going to take this win from us.
That was that hot.
1945, you just took the L.
In 1945. and of course, students and teachers in Toronto were just dying yesterday in their classrooms. And what's the number? I think it's 128 out of the 583 schools have air conditioning. That is not a big number.
God.
Yeah. And parents, I know, I was reading stuff yesterday where parents were talking about, listen, let me just bring in my air conditioner from home for the portable that you have my kid in, and let me just plug it into the wall. And like, they weren't allowed, and it was a whole big giant thing. And I don't know. Dealing with the school board is sometimes an absolute nightmare. But we did beat it. We hit that record. The former record was 31.7, again, back in 1945.
Sorry.
Sorry.
Hashtag sorry, not sorry.
And, do you want to hear Maury try and call me yesterday?
Oh, God. About what now? About the heat?
Yeah, and I didn't... Well, I didn't know. I thought, because it was in the... Like, he had texted me some work stuff. And then he didn't write me back. And then he just started calling me over and over again. And then I answered. And this is before he got drunk, by the way. And then, so this is what happened.
Yo.
Hey, how are you?
Yeah, what's going on?
Okay, so how hot is it? That's what you say.
No.
No, no, just how hot is it?
No, I gotta go. What's up?
But that's what it's, you know those jokes? The how hot is it jokes?
Right.
So, how hot is it?
It's not. What? I don't know. What are you talking about?
So
why
now,
did you call me?
Because you're supposed to go, I don't know, how hot is it?
No.
How hot is it?
That's not how this goes.
Yeah, I have to do the punchline.
No.
So then you go, no. How hot is it?
No, you, no, no.
How hot is it?
Listen, first of all, I seriously don't have time for this, but also the way that this goes is that you say, it's so hot, and then somebody else says, how hot is it? Then you do the punchline.
It's so hot.
I don't have time for that. I'll set you straight and set you free.
Wow.
Do you have jokes there, Maury, that you wanted to do? What were you going to tell me on the phone yesterday?
How hot is it jokes?
Okay. You go ahead then.
Is this a Rosamogan comedy club?
No, it's not. Okay. No.
The bar's closed.
Oh. Yes.
Okay, so how hot is it?
No, it's jerk.
So I don't understand what I'm supposed to say to get to this funny ending.
Okay, you still... Okay, how do you think it's supposed to go?
I think it's like, how hot is it? And then you go, how hot is it? And I go, it's so hot.
No, you're supposed...
How does that make sense in your head?
You are supposed to say, it's so hot, and then we're supposed to say, how hot is it? And then you deliver the punchline.
So I never say, how hot is it?
You never say, how hot is it?
Your line should be, it's so hot.
You start with that.
Yes.
No, you start with that.
Okay.
Do you want us to start with it? Okay. It's so hot.
How hot is it? But then how do you get the punchline?
Exactly.
See, Raza, that's funny.
That's like I used to love this. My favorite knock knock joke was always, hey Maury, you want to hear a knock knock joke?
Yeah.
Okay, you start.
Okay, knock knock.
Who's there?
But you
I always used to love that. I used to get my old man with that all the time.
Okay,
Maury, so you start now.
Okay.
Okay.
It's so hot.
How hot is it?
I saw a squirrel picking up nuts with a pot holder. Okay. How hot?
Okay.
No.
Okay, no.
It's so hot.
How hot is it?
I saw a funeral procession pull through a Dairy Queen.
Yeah, okay.
That's not nice, man.
Why? Because of...
That's kind of racist.
Towards Queen? It's so hot.
How hot is it?
You don't say how hot is it, Maury.
I keep forgetting. Jehovah Witnesses started telemarketing. It's so hot.
How hot is it?
I saw the devil in Walmart buying an air conditioner.
Yeah, okay. The old devil buying an air conditioner joke. Okay.
Okay.
Go ahead. I think these jokes are from 1945.
It's so hot.
How hot is it?
You can wash and dry your clothes at the same time.
Yeah, okay.
One more.
Last one.
Okay.
Why are you upset?
These jokes suck, bro.
It's so hot.
How hot is it?
I saw a cop chasing a thief and they were both walking.
Yeah, all right. So that's what you're going to waste my time with yesterday? Instead, we just wasted a million people's time with them.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Roz?
Yeah.
Before we continue, let me read this tweet that we got last week from Mike. It says, thank you for adding the news to the podcast. Sometimes I miss it during my commute.
Oh, there you go. I like that. Mocha, are you ready?
Yeah.
Let's do the news.
A Roz and Mocha Show and KISS 92.5 News Break.
Costco allegedly revoked a membership of one customer who abused its extremely lenient return policy. This is down in the States. I didn't know this about Costco, but pretty much you can return just about anything for a full refund. There are exceptions. Diamonds, you can only return within a certain period of time. Some electronics and booze and alcohol, booze and cigarettes, you can't return at any point. But
the cigarettes are gone.
Stories started popping up on Reddit of some of the craziest things that have ever been returned and accepted at the store. Okay. It included a dead Christmas tree, a half-eaten steak, a decade-old boombox, a 13-year-old fish, and an empty bottle of wine because a customer claimed that it gave her a headache. Okay, now. But one customer, according to Business Insider, had her membership revoked because she had a long history of returning just frivolous items. And the straw that broke the camel's back was a woman's name is Miriam Nichols, and she... In 2018, returned a printer to Costco that she bought in 2010. And she said, the printer malfunctioned shortly after she purchased it, but she didn't ever just getting around to return it. After 8 years, she returned it and then was met with a manager. They went through her history and they said, obviously, you're not happy with our products. Let's have that card. Yeah. Few people that have had their memberships revoked from Costco.
I'll say this about Costco and their return policy. It is fantastic.
Yeah.
And I have, not for scamming reasons, but for legitimate... Like, for example, we had one of those Vitamix blenders that we bought, I think it was 2 years ago, and those are pretty expensive.
Yeah.
And way early this year, it broke. And I was like, there's no reason that an item like this should break,
right,
especially from Costco. And I took it back to Costco and I explained, and they were no problem, no hassle. They took it back, gave me a new one.
Now, do you have the receipts for stuff like that, though?
No,
you keep receipts?
I don't, but they track.
Oh,
they
on
have,
your
like,
card.
Your purchase history, yeah.
Oh, that's brilliant.
And they saw, okay, yeah, you're right. You did buy it here on this particular date. Of course we're going to take it back.
So you're not the one who returned an empty bottle of wine because you claimed it gave you a headache, right? hold on here. Oh, Merriam-Webster's Dictionary. Every year they sort of dip into the pop culture lexicon and start adding words that people have created.
Like lit and AF?
Yes, like lit and AF. They start putting those things in the dictionary.
Uh-huh.
Do you have any interest in what they're adding this year?
Yeah.
Adorbs.
Oh my God, my sister says that all the time. Actually, both my sisters, Lauren and Lisa.
Adorbs.
Adorbs.
Yeah, that's like I used to work with a guy who used to say Marvy for Marvelous.
Oh my God, is Obvi in there?
Obvi? I think Obvi.
Obvi was probably in there.
Should have been in
ago,
there
right?
a while ago. Yeah, yeah. Adorbs is there.
Yeah. Obvi.
Time suck. An activity to which one devotes a lot of time that might be better or more productively spent doing other things. Meaning, talking to Dammit Maury is a total time suck.
Wow.
Bingeable.
Yeah.
As an adjective, meaning something would be bingeable. Oh, yeah. That's bingeable. Oh,
like the Roz and Mocha podcast.
Yeah. Instagramming as a verb.
Okay.
Rando.
Rando?
As in a random person.
Some rando just hit me up.
My sister Lisa says that all the
time. Yeah.
Rando.
Guac.
Yeah.
For guacamole.
Of course.
Hangry is finally being added.
Yo, Hangry been around for like
I know for quite a while.
Long.
Right? Yeah. And then one I'd never heard of, which is TLDR.
Hold on. TL.
It's an abbreviation.
TLDR.
TLDR. I've seen it before, and it's one of those abbreviations that it's now past the point of where it would be embarrassing if I asked what it was.
Yeah, what is it?
TLDR means too long didn't read. Because I've seen that at the end of comments. Like somebody's posted something before, and then somebody's replied TLDR, right. And I didn't know what that meant.
Yeah.
But
and you're like, yeah, tiddler to you too.
When it comes to athletes and their diets, I was just going through this morning. The Rock is always the sort of benchmark of, you know, somebody who eats a ton to look the way he does, right? Like you always see his diet. It goes viral every time he's doing a new action movie and he posts his diet. And then you have guys like Michael Phelps, who does 12,000 calories a day. This is Michael Phelps' typical day. So 3 fried egg sandwiches for breakfast.
3?
But this is only as a prelude to a 5 egg omelet and French toast and 3 chocolate chip pancakes. Jeez. Next for lunch is a pound of pasta, 2 large ham and cheese sandwiches with mayo on white bread, and 1,000 calories worth of energy drinks. So we all like sort of get that, right? Yeah. Like these athletic guys.
But this has to be when they're in like top, like when they're training like crazy, yes. Right?
So...
like Michael Phelps ain't waking up on a Sunday eating all that stuff when he's like got nothing else going on.
But Usain Bolt is on this list for his diet.
I've never seen his diet before.
Exactly. So when he was in Beijing in 2008,
yeah,
he didn't like the food that was there, right? Like he just didn't like it. He's Jamaican. He's just like, I just don't like it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to only eat what I know and what I'm familiar with and what I know is consistent.
Okay.
So the story goes that in 2008 at the Beijing Games, that Usain Bolt, for the time he was there, and keep in mind that he won gold in the 100 and 200.
Okay.
Ate 1,000 chicken nuggets.
1,000 chicken nuggets?
Yeah, that translates into 5 20 packs per day.
Get out of here! Come on. I love chicken nuggets and everything. But that is a lot, bro.
Yeah, they said that he ate 1,000 chicken nuggets.
But he can because he's burning it all off.
And he won gold in the 100, 200. 1,005 20 packs of nugs in a day.
I couldn't do it.
For a week.
Oh, gosh. I could not do it. That is crazy, dude.
20 boxes. That is an incredible amount of chicken nuggets.
That's too much chicken nuggets.
Too much chicken nuggets, yeah. So that's what they said, that they put his athletic diet up there with Michael Phelps and The Rock. This is really interesting. With Guardians of the Galaxy 3, Dave Bautista plays Drax. And I believe that years from now, Dave Bautista's comedic timing will be studied in acting classes. And I don't think that he gets the recognition that he could, because he's brilliant. And as you know, with James Gunn, they let James Gunn go for his offensive tweets that he had posted years ago. And then he apologized, but Disney still fired him. And as it is right now, they don't know what they're doing with the movie. They'll probably bring somebody else in. But the cast all kind of got together and collectively and wrote a letter, an open letter to Disney saying, you know, we support James Gunn and we would like him rehired if you would reconsider. But Dave Bautista is going one step further and saying that he may actually not return. Listen to this.
I hear you might not do the third movie.
What?
There's a controversy around the director.
Yeah,
and Disney,
yeah,
and you said you might not do it.
Well, yeah, there's a bit of an issue. It's a bittersweet conversation. No, it's a bitter conversation, because I'm not really happy with what they've done with James Gunn. They're putting the movie off. It's on hold indefinitely. And to be honest with you, I don't know if I want to work for Disney.
Wow. Right?
That's pretty crazy, man.
Those are big words.
From a big guy.
Also, what is the best sport if you want to live longer? What is the best sport to play as an individual, not as a pro athlete, but as an individual? What is the best sort of extracurricular sport
I know
you can get into to live longer? What do you think?
I'm going to say it's golf.
Golf.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
I'm gonna say golf.
They say people who play tennis, badminton, or soccer tend to live longer than those who cycled, swam, or jogged.
Really? Why?
Okay. The results raise an interesting question about the role that social interaction might play in augmenting the benefits of exercise. That possibly requires verification, they say. But for now, people who run or ride might want to consider finding a group or partner to do it with. Mm. They say raising your heart rate is important, but it looks like connecting with others is other people is as beneficial as well. This is why, like what Maury does when Maury goes to those culty spin classes.
I was going to say at the end of spin when Ty says take off your water bottle and cheers the person around you.
Yeah, that's, yeah. It's the social aspect of like Maury reaps more benefit from being in a group of people with a community, even if it is sort of culty, than somebody who goes out and rides alone.
Yeah,
because he's getting an extra level from his
it's
workout.
It's not the sweat and the ride.
No, it is the sweat and the ride, but it's also the camaraderie. It's also the socialization aspect.
Aw, guys, we should start a running club.
Right?
So when he says, are we all with us? And we all go, woo!
Yeah, that's what it is. It's the woo factor. Michael Moore's new documentary, which is going to be at TIFF, dropped a bombshell as well. His new documentary is all about Donald Trump. Mm. And Michael Moore claims there is one person and one person only responsible for Donald Trump's decision to run for president, which he ultimately won, as we know. There's one person and one person only.
Does he, and he says in the movie?
Yes.
Okay. Can I guess?
Yes.
His daughter.
I can give you a million guesses and you will never guess.
Not his daughter?
Not his daughter. Gwen Stefani.
Hold on, what?
Gwen Stefani, according to Michael Moore, Gwen Stefani is the reason that Donald Trump decided to run for president. Because at the time, Donald Trump has always flirted with the idea of politics,
right?
Since like the 80s. And at the time, Donald Trump was going to war with NBC over money. Donald Trump found out that Gwen Stefani on The Voice was making more money than he was to host The Apprentice.
Yeah.
So that's when he played NBC's hand and said, fine, I will walk away. And he had the big high level meeting and decided to put a campaign together to try his hand at president. But if you remember, then he started trashing Mexicans and NBC completely cut ties with him altogether. And then so the campaign happened and he eventually won.
Because of Gwen Stefani.
Michael Moore claims that it was because he found out that Gwen Stefani made more than he did on The Voice than he did for hosting The Apprentice that had his name on it. That was the reason that he had the meeting to try and play NBC's hand to get more money out of them.
That ish is bananas. B-A-N-A-N-A-S.
Roz and Mocha Q&A.
Before we get to Ask Roz and Mocha, I would like to read to you some of the latest reviews we've been getting on iOS.
Oh, yeah.
First of all, thank you to everyone that leaves a rating and a review. Much love to you. Much appreciated. If you have not yet done so, as soon as you're done listening to this episode, get on that. Kelly, just on Friday, left this review with 5 stars as well. Nice. If I can give you more than 5 stars, I definitely would. Absolutely love the podcast. I've been listening to you guys since I was 10.
Oh my God.
You guys make my day all day, every day. Anna also left a review, 5 stars again. So thank you for that, Anna. So happy about finding this. I've been listening to your radio show since at least 2014. And then we'll end on this one, Julieta. I don't remember how I ever celebrated Fridays before this podcast came out. I am hooked. And she also left us 5 stars. So again, iOS, Google Play, wherever it is you get the Roz and Mocha Show podcast from, if you don't mind, leave a review and a rating. We would definitely love that. All
and
right.
We'll read it here for you as well.
Ask Roz and Mocha, a podcast exclusive.
Yeah, that's one of the, this is my favorite part of the podcast. And we love it so much because we get to bring somebody who listens to the show and listens to the podcast on the podcast to ask their question live. Every week, we will post something on Instagram. It's just a shot of Mocha and I. It just simply reads Ask Roz and Mocha. That is where you can post your questions. We always try and get to as many as we can. And like we said, somebody gets to come on the podcast with us. And on the phone, Mocha, is Nikki.
Hi, Nikki. What's going on?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. I've seen your name pop up a bunch on Instagram through at Kiss925 whenever we post up and ask Roz and Mocha. You got a lot of questions, huh?
I know. I have a lot going on in my head, apparently.
Okay. What's going on in your life? How old are you? Are you married? Are you...
29, married. I have a kid who's 2.
Okay.
And
I don't know.
And do you work?
I do. I work in special education at the school board.
Okay.
Oh, nice. I was in special ed.
Maury was in special ed. You never hear that. We get calls all the time where somebody's like, yeah, you know, back at school, I was in Greece last week. And somebody goes, oh, my God, I was in Greece. But you never hear when somebody goes, I teach special ed. The person goes, I was in special ed.
So, Nikki, what is your question?
So I want to preface this because my husband actually listens to the podcast, so sure. I don't want to offend him, okay. But he does a lot for us, and he's a really good dad, and he does a lot of things that are important to him, but sometimes when I...
Your question is what?
When I ask him to do something for me, like a favor, or just something that I can't get around to, it'll oftentimes sit for like days, and yeah. I've tried to be patient with it and not say anything because I don't want to start an argument. Yeah. So I was wondering if you had advice on how to...
Give us an example.
Like, what was the last thing you asked him to do he either forgot or just didn't do?
So, okay, one example is we came back from a trip and there were a lot of heavy boxes when I was unpacking some of this stuff. So there were a lot of heavy boxes in our family room and I couldn't lift them physically myself. So I asked him to do it. And I think it went like a week and a half, 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And then he finally got to it. But in the interim, I was getting like more and more anxious. Right. They were just sitting there. And then like we would have like little arguments about it, but I didn't want it to
When you argue about it, what do you say?
I will just say, can you move it now? And he'll just say, oh, I'll get to it. And I said, oh, you said that yesterday. And yeah. It'll just be like that.
Okay, so there's fundamental differences between men and women when it comes to stuff like this. The first thing you can't do is, and you may fall into this because it's very important that you have a young kid in the house. Mm-hmm. Because oftentimes the dynamic between a man and a woman or a husband and a wife in the house changes when you involve a kid. Because things where you think that you're simply asking your husband to do things, you wind up crossing over into territory of where you start mothering your husband.
Mm-hmm.
And guys know that when it's happening immediately. So you have to remember that the one line you can't cross is you can't cross into territory of, I asked you to do something, why didn't you do it? That's stuff your mother said to you. Yeah. That's not stuff your wife says to you. Also, I will say that when it comes to a mess, when it comes to a thing, right? Guys are okay to sit and live their life with a stack of boxes in the corner and pretend that they're not even there. Women can't walk out of that room without looking at them thinking that those boxes are ruining your life.
Yeah.
So you don't ask your husband to move the boxes. What you have to do is have a conversation with him that says, I know those boxes don't bother you, and that's fine. But the conversation needs to be, they really just drive me crazy. So then it's not about moving boxes, it's about saving your mental health.
Actually, that's a good idea. He works in mental health.
I will tell you this, Nikki, because this conversation happens from time to time in our house, where my wife Jenna will say, hey, can you do this one thing? And then I will, not out of anything other than it'll just slip my mind that I'll totally forget, or I get distracted very easily. So I would get distracted by either the television or my phone goes off or something else, and I will legit forget, not because I'm trying to be rude or be disrespectful to her, but I will legit just forget. And then she'll hit me with the, you know, like, sometimes it hurts my feelings when I ask you to do something and then you don't do it. Then I feel terrible and I end up doing it.
Right.
But, either he just, like, maybe he gets distracted or he just forgets. But I'm with Roz. You got to have those conversations, but don't mother him.
Yeah, you can't be his mom. We'll get Dammit Maury's advice in 1 second. And I will also say this too. You know, when it comes to the men and women, guys can sit and do nothing, right? Mm-hmm. I'm really great at sitting and doing nothing. Mm-hmm. When women do nothing, they just do something else other than the thing that they were just doing.
Yeah.
Right? You guys can't sit and do nothing. And I will walk into a room and there could be cat barf on the floor, right? And yeah. I will walk into the room and I'll just sit on the couch and start watching a show. Where Catherine will say, how can you even sit and watch a show when there's cat barf on the ground? And I'm like, because right now I'm doing nothing. When I decide to do something, I will clean up the cat barf. It's not going anywhere. I'm fine. Yeah. I can relax. I can ignore the cat barf, where women can't. So there's an immediacy when something needs to be done that women tend to have over men. Okay. And you have to understand that immediacy that you have for things is probably most likely definitely not shared with your husband. So the urgency when you speak of something like moving boxes or putting dishes in a dishwasher, you actually sound crazy to him.
Fair enough.
Okay.
Yeah. I probably like, do.
It's a very difficult thing. Okay, now Maury, your advice to try and get, because Maury's dynamic in his household is two men. So it's Maury and his husband Matthew. And
we
Maury,
all have roles in our home. Like right. We have our chores, right? And I'm garbage, right? So like I'm not like my job is garbage.
Right.
Either way, do you, bro?
Do you? And I'm the same as Roz, where like I don't understand why it needs to be done right away. Yeah. But if I don't take the garbage out when it's full, Matthew's way of getting me to do something is by talking about me as though I'm not in the room under his breath. He'd be like, you know, I don't know why I married this guy and he doesn't want to take out the garbage. I just don't understand. Like I do so many things. I work all day and I come home and my husband decides not to, and I'm standing right there, but he's talking to himself about me, and it frustrates me to the point where I'll just take the garbage out.
Right.
But to me, I'm like, I don't know why it needs to be done right now.
Maury has also lived his life in his household life by the old philosophy of don't be good at anything you don't want to do. Right? So Maury's not allowed to allowed to load the dishwasher because Matthew thinks that he's so terrible at it that it's actually frustrating to watch Maury load the dishwasher.
Because Matthew would just have to go and redo everything himself.
Maury brand new washer and dryer. I've never touched them.
Right, because Matthew thinks that Maury's no good at doing laundry. Maury could easily learn how to do the laundry.
I used to live on my own.
The dishwasher. Right. He's quite capable of it, but why get good at something that you don't actually want to do?
Oh, kind of smart.
Right? See? Like it's
so maybe that's your husband's technique right now.
maybe that's the case, you know?
Yeah, maybe.
It's a very difficult thing to try and get somebody to do something. I know for Catherine, if Catherine doesn't like to do something, she will just never do it. So Catherine, my girlfriend, will clean the entire kitchen, like scrub the counters, the floors, the front of the cupboards, everything else. Catherine has never in her life clean the kitchen sink.
Really?
So I will walk in the house and the kitchen will be spotless and I will look in the sink and there's 2 inches of rice from the night before that dumped out a pot in the sink. She will not clean the kitchen sink.
Have you ever asked her?
She just thinks it's disgusting.
Really?
She won't clean the kitchen sink. She thinks it's gross. So I get home and then I realize all the work she's done and I will just go ahead and independently clean the kitchen sink.
Wow.
Which I have no problem with that. But she will scrub the house and I will come home and there's a ball of hair in the kitchen sink.
Who in your house cleans the toilets?
Right? I clean the toilet. I'm more likely to clean the toilet.
Okay, because I was going to say, like, if she thinks the sink is disgusting, what about the toilet?
She also thinks that's because where I put my butt, and she doesn't like that. Right?
Hey, nobody like your butt, bro.
Right? Is there anything Jenna does, Mocha, that she doesn't like to do?
Yeah,
is there anything in the house that she finds, like, gross or just not for her or, like, the dog poo? Who takes care of the dog poo?
No, we both do.
You both do?
Yeah, because she grew up with dogs.
Yeah, okay.
I used to think, because I'd never had a dog before meeting Jenna, we got Tig, so I used to think, absolutely not, never, it's disgusting.
Yeah.
But now, no big deal. Like, I can't think of anything
right
now.
How do you take the poo? Does the dog poo in the backyard and then you just scoop it up?
Yeah.
Or do you?
With a bag.
I could never.
Right?
I could never. I had dogs growing up, and I'll tell you right now, I could never put a bag over my hand and lift up hot poo. I could never do it. Oh, hell no. Nope.
So what would you do?
That dog's going up for adoption.
What would you do?
But you wiped Roxy's butt.
Yeah, that's a human being who can't fend for herself. I cannot put my hand in a bag and touch hot poo. I would throw up every time I do it.
Really?
Yeah, I cannot do it. When I will see, like, sometimes, like, a real, like, good-looking girl walking down the street, and she's all put together, and she's got the dog, and then she puts the hand on her bag and bends over and picks it up. I'm like, you are the least attractive thing in the world right now. No, I find that so disgusting. There is nothing worse than putting a bag over your hand. Uh-huh. I would use my boot and flick it onto the street.
No, you would
yes,
not.
I would. Yes, I would.
And yes, risk getting poop on your boot.
Yeah, I would rather get poop on my boot. I would rather flick it on the street with the toe of my boot than put my hand in a bag and pick up steamy, hot, fresh dog poop.
Oh my God. Yeah,
and then carry it.
Well, yeah, what else are you going to do with it?
Like it's luggage. No, there's no way. That is to me, that's the lowest a human being can go, is putting your hand in a bag and touching hot dog poop.
Can I tell you, this is like completely off topic,
yeah,
real quick, Nikki, but I remember we were out for a walk. It was myself, my wife Jenna, our son Cruz, and the dog, Dig. Yeah. And we're out for a walk. And we see, coming towards us, there's a woman who's out for a jog.
Right.
And she's with her dog. And the dog is super happy and jogging right beside its owner. I guess the dog took a poop. The woman had picked it up, put it in the bag.
Yeah.
Took the bag.
Yeah.
And tied it.
No.
On the dog leash,
yeah,
around the dog's neck,
yeah,
so she wouldn't have to hold it while she was running. See, so this poor dog is running down the street next to its owner, who's out for a jog, and the dog poop is like hitting itself in the chest.
No.
See, that bag is like, slapped. I'm sure along your run, along that jog, you would have at least passed like some plaza, some a park somewhere where you could toss that bag of dog poop into.
No, that's like Game of Thrones level torture. You know, like that's like when you're trying to get an answer out of somebody, you take their poo and tie it around their neck and make them run. Right? Like you don't do that to another living thing. You don't tie. You don't take a living thing and tie its own poop around its neck and make it run.
I know. Right? Like you don't. And it was a hot day too.
Yeah, like that's like Dick Cheney level torture. You know, you don't do that to another thing. You just don't. We're better than that.
Anyway, Nikki, I hope we help answer your question or help give you some sort of a solution.
You did. You gave me some insight. And thanks for making me laugh. I just died.
Thank you, Nikki. Appreciate you always.
Thank you. Bye, guys.
All right, later.
God, I'm exhausted now. My stomach hurts from laughing.
Well, let's go through some more questions.
Okay. I want to ask if you guys have experienced any bad days at work, or what does a bad work day look like in the studio, and how do you usually handle it?
Ooh, I think
let's not say days when we're sick, because that happens and you have to fight through it and everything else. So like a bad day when something doesn't go right, or we get some bad news, or Maury's pissed off, or Maury's pissed off.
Let me see. So,
yeah,
I think between Roz and I don't know
what a bad day really like.
Yeah, like if you ever had a bad day, you don't show it.
I mean, I got kidney stones on the air, you know, when we were interviewing Carly Rae Jepsen years ago. Yeah. I got kidney stones on the air, and I remember being in the worst pain I've ever been in my life while we were doing an interview on the show, and I wanted to die. Like, that's a bad day.
Yeah.
But we've had health problems and stuff and still come in and done the show, and you've been in a bad mood. But like Mocha and I have never been in a fight. Like, we've never had to fake getting along to anybody. But I think that when you do have a bad day, whether it is, you know, because you're not feeling well, or maybe, you know, Maury's in a bad mood and you got bad news on your phone or whatever it is, I think the difference between us having a bad day and everybody else having a bad day is if you have a bad day at your job, you can go in and sort of keep your head down, be accountable, do your job, 5:30, you leave and you're home. You know, nobody really knows what's going on in your head. But I think with us, like when everybody on this show has had to leave this show and go to a funeral.
Yeah.
You know, every single person on this show has had to leave this show and go to a funeral.
But you wouldn't know it.
At some point, but you wouldn't know it. And so I think the difference is that when you have a bad day, you can sort of be anonymous about it at work. When we have a bad day, a million people hear your bad day. Mm-hmm. So if you screw up, you know, and we've screwed up on the show before. Things have happened that we've really like have been a mistake. And so when you screw up, it's not just on you and your boss notices and then you can go correct it. There is no correcting it when you do this.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're an obsessive person, or, you know, you're really down on yourself for something that went wrong, that becomes a problem, and that can sort of ruin your day a little bit. But it's tough.
Yeah. And when Maury has a bad day.
Oh, boy. The passive-aggressive Maury with no glasses.
Everybody. But I will say, when Maury has a bad day, there's two things that we'll do. Both behind the scenes, we'll call him out on it.
Yeah.
And try to fix a problem.
Yeah.
And sometimes on the radio, on the show, we'll call him out on it and try to fix the problem.
I don't, if I'm having a bad day, I don't want to mask it as well as the two of you do. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not good at just hiding it as well as the two of you.
But nobody's asking you to hide it. Where I have a problem, and I don't want to start getting too deep into your head here, but where I have a problem is oftentimes your reasoning for having a bad day should be something that you should be able to deal with as an adult and move past.
Totally.
Like something as the frivolous things that set you off in a day should be something that as a grown human you should be able to deal with independently. And move off very quickly from
one
it.
One would think.
Yes. do we have anything fun, for God's sake?
Yeah, why'd you have to read that?
I don't know. It was interesting to
me. Oh, okay, here. How about this one?
Yeah.
Megan Novice asks, if you had to choose a voice for yourself that you think matches your face and look, what voice would it be, or who would it sound like? I ask this because when I watch your videos and my volume is off, I don't equate your voices to your looks.
Wow. But that's a very difficult question, because you're saying that, because for me, my voice matches my face perfectly because it's my face.
No, but if you had to pick a different voice.
So if you had to pick a different voice.
That you think also matches your face.
Oh, like Grandpa Simpson.
Like Grandpa.
Shut up. You shut up. I'm not ganging up here. Okay. I'm not in the barrel today.
Do you know that joke, by the way?
In a barrel?
Yeah.
Does that have to do with Niagara Falls?
Do you know that joke? We can tell the joke on the podcast. Do you not know? Have you ever heard somebody say, it's not my turn in the barrel? No? Okay,
no.
It's not racist. So the joke goes like this. So there's a guy, and the location will always change. So sometimes it's a prison camp, sometimes it's a military base, sometimes it's an island where people have been stranded.
Okay.
So there's a guy, and he's with a group of people, and this guy wanders into this sort of civilization or prison yard or wherever. And they're talking about what life is like there, and one guy who's been there a while is really chatting it up and saying, you know, it's actually not that bad, and we've made the best of it, and we built some huts, and we go fish, and we do all this other stuff. And it's all men. And he's like, okay, cool. So he's like, there's all men here. And they're like, yeah, it's all men. And he's like, okay, cool. So that's no problem. And he goes, so what do you do, like, if you need to sort of, like, you know, get busy? And he's like, oh, we use the barrel. And the guy's like, okay, what's the barrel? And he goes, come on, let me show you. And so he brings the guy over to the barrel, and it's a barrel with a hole in it.
Okay.
And he goes, there's a hole in the barrel, and take your thing and put your thing in the hole in the barrel.
Yeah.
And the guy goes, oh my God, this is like incredible. This is like mind-blowingly wonderful.
You guys figured it out.
Like, you guys have this all figured out. And he's like, the other guy's like, yeah, man, anytime you want. And he's like, anytime I want, I can just like come over here and like use the barrel. And he's like, anytime. And he's like, for real, like, any, I can just like come over here anytime and use the barrel. And he's like, yeah, anytime except Monday nights. And he goes, why? What happens Monday night? And he goes, that's your turn in the barrel. So when I say it's not my turn in the barrel, I mean it's not my turn to get ganged up on by all you guys.
Okay,
anyway.
So what were we talking about?
I don't know.
If you could have somebody else's voice. Be able to choose a voice, what voice? Whose voice do you think?
Yeah, that's tough.
Is it whose voice or just...
You would know this, Maury. Who do you idolize that you would rather you had their voice?
Oh, like the movie trailer guy.
Right.
But always dreamy.
Would you want to talk like that to regular people? Like when you...
1,000%. Right. I'd love to just be able to walk up anywhere, you know, and just be like, in a world.
Right. Or... Don't say in a world. You have to do the voice without saying in a world.
Oh, like just everyday thing?
Yes.
How much for that peach?
Right. They give you the peach for free and give you the register money as well. when you do that, you've just robbed somebody.
And then it's your turn in the barrel. At least you got that peach, though. Listen to Ask Roz and Mocha. At Kiss925 is where you will see the picture once a week. Feel free to ask any question that you want, and I will try to get you onto the podcast. Dude, yo, this segment right here, like 20 minutes, man.
Really?
This is our longest segment of Ask Roz and Mocha.
All right.
Thanks very much for listening to the show.
Thanks for listening to the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Catch the guys live weekday mornings from 6 to 10
on KISS 92.5.
KISS925.com
or on the KISS 92.5 app.